You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Baseball is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Why wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day? Just pick two pitchers and eight position players, stand to the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day just playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter code Kelly to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Enter Kelly for free entry at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
This is going to be a clusterfuck.
This podcast has no rules.
Talking to the mic, asshole.
I'm sure I've already said, should I regret?
Can I get a microphone?
No! What the fuck?
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense. No topics. No directions. I love doing it.
Don't play both sides of the coin.
That's how a host does, you motherfucker.
I'm honored that you think my podcast is popular enough where I might affect somebody's life.
You never know.
It's Robert Kelly's You Know What Do podcast on Riotcast.com.
Should we just let it sit there silent for a little bit? People skip through that anyway, and everyone just goes, fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. Hey guys, welcome to Riotcast Studios. My name is Albert Charles Kreischer III, a.k.a. Burt Kreischer, a.k.a. other things. And I am above the Comedy Cellar, and I am guest hosting, you know what, dude? I talked to Bobby yesterday, and I put Bobby on the phone with a guy he hadn't spoken to in 13 years. I'm not quite honest. I'm not sure he wanted to speak to him. But I put him on the phone anyway. I merged calls. That's an aggressive, that's like a molestation of fucking privacy. Just clink. And he was like, ah, hey, Eddie, how you doing? It's good to hear you from you. I am here with a bunch of comics. I'm horrible with names, so I will let
Chris.
The guy, Chris.
Yeah. Chris,
I'll let muscly guy.
Yeah. I'm not really that important, so. Chris Scopo. Here you go. To my right, we have The Truth is Back. Joe List, everybody.
Hello, everybody. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you've been on a while.
A lot has changed, and I hate everything that's happened.
There's new
music.
Joe.
Bobby's not here. Dave is here.
I mean, I'm right here.
I'm not okay with it either.
Yeah. The cameras, it's very camera-y now.
This is like an actual TV show.
I didn't get asked if I wanted coffee.
I don't like Joe's fucking green smoothie attitude that he's got.
Yeah,
casting, it's a lot of kale and pineapple and aloe. And they always give me a deal down here because I'm one of four customers.
Aloe's the weird one.
You can eat aloe. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be really good for your skin.
It's supposed to be really good for your stomach if you have it with a pulp. It does the same thing it does for your healing on your skin when you get sunburned for a sour stomach.
Well, they say anything you put in your skin is like essentially congesting or abjusting.
Yeah,
what's that
that's
word?
How, what's his name? You have acid, and you put it in his headband.
Who?
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think you guys are all a bunch of fags. I'll be over here with my acne and diarrhea drinking coffee like a man.
Anyways, that was my intro.
That ray of sunshine is Dave Smith, everybody.
Hello.
Comic Dave Smith. And we have another great guest, Jared Logan, everybody.
Hi, and I'm drinking lanolin. Ginkgo biloba. Some ginkgo biloba here.
If you try putting buttermilk on your face, it makes you look younger. Not that any of you fucking guys need it, but at my age. Well, how old are you guys?
I'm 32.
Oh, fucking 30.
I just turned 33.
I was having kids at 32.
28.
28?
I'm 35, so.
Jesus Christ.
How old are you, Bert?
42. I moved to the city when I was...
Yikes. He was good for 42.
I moved to the city when I was 25 years old, thinking I'd be fucking famous within a week. I literally was like, this is going to happen pretty fucking quick. And then at 26, I started doing stand-up.
Dude, doesn't everyone, like... I think everyone, when you start comedy, you do just have this, like, track that's so much faster than what actually... I mean, I guess for some people it works out great. But, like, where you're like, okay, so by 4 years, I'll be, like, a national headliner. Yeah. 6 years, you know, I'll do my special.
I'll have
like
my own TV show.
Yeah, seven. It's yeah. like...
Oh, it's the same thing I do to what Tiger Woods did with Jack Nicklaus. Like, I had a... I will judge my career based on people who... Like, a timeline. This, like... non-existent timeline of where everyone else was
right.
and where they got at certain times.
Did you go after like Eddie Murphy?
No. You got to do like Judah Friedlander. Like this was my group. It was Judah, Jim, Bobby, Dane Cook. Like those are the guys I looked at and I was like, okay, if I can get into that pacing of like I one it was like a sliding scale. Like you could get like a fucking Snickers commercial like Judah and then you'd be like, okay, I'm good, 125,000. So that was the way I looked at it when wow. I started, but then I fucking leapfrogged everyone.
Yeah, now you're at the top of the entertainment pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the wolf.
I was the opposite of that, which is that like I was probably so afraid that I won't succeed. Still am that like I'm like fuck it, man. I don't even want to do any of that shit. Be famous. It's garbage. All it is being fake and phony.
I say that about film. People go, do you want to get in film? I'm like, I don't even fucking want to do that, dude. Yeah. I'm happy in television.
Yeah. My career is turning down a series of opportunities nobody is offering.
Before they offer them.
I'm like, no, I'm not into that. I'm not into the hosting of that. That would be stupid.
So it's just like, oh, hey, Jared, have you met Steve from HBO? Like, no, thank you, Steve. Well, I'm not doing it, man.
It starts with SNL. We all turn down SNL in our heads.
Yeah.
I'm not a character guy. I don't do impressions.
Hack. I don't want to get on that show.
Yeah. What am I going to be? Daryl Hammond? No, thanks.
Yeah. No silly costumes, man. I tell the truth up there, man.
I love. It's an amazing thing how like comedians at like an open micer level, like the lowest level of comedy. I'm sure lots of people are narcissistic, but they will so just discount. You know, it'll just be like, oh, did you see who Lauren Michaels like picked? What an idiot. And you're like, yeah, he probably doesn't know what he's doing. He's only been running the most successful show ever. You know, like I remember when Dane was huge. That was a guy that like comics loved to hate for what I always thought he was really funny. But like comics loved to kind of hate on Dane Cook. And it's like these open mics be like, oh, did you see Vicious Circle? It sucks. And you're like, are you not even a little bit impressed that he performed in the round?
Yeah.
Like, just as a comedian, you don't think that's kind of
sold out?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a comic. I wish I could remember his name. I sometimes I'll tour with. Hey, will you turn my headsets down? I think Bobby's fucking deaf. Jesus Christ,
dude! Yeah. Can't hear me, dude.
There was a comic. Sometimes I'll travel with this guy, Matt Fultron, and we go and do this.
It's a great name.
The Full Charge. He's fucking hilarious.
Full Charge.
That's what he calls himself, and he's great. He toured with Tosh for a long time, and so we go to Tampa one weekend, and this comic. I wish I could remember the guy's name so I could shit on him, but apparently, like he had gotten. He was an open micer, and he had gotten drunk and said something mean to me. Like said, like, oh, that's the way you do it. You know, or whatever about my act. And I was like, whatever, dude. So then he comes back the next time and he's already got beef with me. And he's like sitting at the bar and Matt's like, hey, and he's like, oh, I'm a comic. And Matt's like, oh, you're gonna do a set? And he's like, no, Bert and I have like a thing. We hate each other. And I was like, I don't even know who the fucking guy was. I don't remember it. But now that he said it, I was like, oh, shit. So all I wanted to do was make it uncomfortable and get in social situations where I was close to the guy and bringing him in tight so that he got to the place where he was like, oh, I guess we're good. And then going, I fucking remember you. And I fuck that. But it's guys get in their heads about it and they'd want to have beef, I think, especially over micers. Sure.
Yeah.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're sitting around going like, that guy doesn't like me, eventually he's going to not like you. I mean, that's just how it's going to happen.
Who do you guys hate? Let's go around the room.
So many people.
I'm not a big
go
Scopo.
Ahead, Joe.
I'm not a big Scopo guy.
That's me, by the way.
No, I do.
I've never heard of him. But I'm not a big fan of my dad. He left when I was pretty young.
See, I always liked his stuff. I like his early
comedy stuff.
After he left, he got shitty. Early on, the hitting, that was great. I'm only assuming.
Oh, fuck.
Well, that all got right, weird.
Yeah. Well, that was it, guys. Well,
I don't want to say who I hate.
No, I don't hate anybody. I like all of you.
Okay, let's put it this way. Let's try to back into this.
Okay.
Who would you like to see have a really bad set?
Any comic who this is my thing, and I'm any comic who throws other comics under the bus. That's the only comics I genuinely root against are like the PC cop comics who will go out and like write an article about how offended they were by some other comedian's joke, or will go and call other comedians like racist or offensive or sexist for. Like, if you're in this world, you've crossed the line. I promise you. Like, anyway, those guys are
the last person I probably shit on publicly. Like, but this is before I had a run when podcasting started. This sounds arrogant, but were you guys doing stand up when podcasting started? Like, probably like five years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but when we'd all the comics would go on podcasts and just shit on other comics, not realizing people would hear it and would get back to them.
And what's interesting is that now that podcasts have blown up, people will go back and find your archive thing. So now that's like on the record. Like, even if people weren't listening at the time, you know what I mean? Like, now they'll go back and like all that shit.
Terrifying. Yeah. There's been so many N-words in this room.
Oh, God.
I can't even count. Not for me, but.
Like, we'll name them Keith.
I think that might be it.
me and Ari Shaffir, this is a long time ago, and this is all past, so don't try to rekindle this beef, anybody. But me and Ari Shaffir are driving out to do Rogan's podcast one night, and this thing comes out that TJ Miller was live tweeting about Dane Cook's set. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah, I remember that.
And
yeah.
Ari and I just got fucking up in arms. We're in a fucking car together, two grown men, and we're just fucking heated. And then it just spills into the room and the podcast starts and me and Ari just say what a bullshit move it was. And that was it. And then I hear on Pete Holmes' podcast, who I like, I hear TJ walking me through how he found out we were shitting on him. And we're both friends with TJ. We just thought we didn't like what he was doing. I don't like that. I never liked that. A comic shouldn't shit on other comics that way and critique the process that is difficult to do. And so, but I heard the way he was like, here I am in a fucking hotel room. And I had an instance like that where someone shit on me, but I was getting on a flight to I was leaving South Africa, heading on a fucking 33-hour flight home. And I heard it first podcast to take off. I heard this girl, Jen Kirkman, shit on me. And I was like, fucking. Like,
turn this plane around.
There's no internet over Africa. I'm just like fucking steaming like, motherfucker. But yeah, talking shit on podcasts about comics.
But wait, TJ was just mad because like Dane like bumped a bunch of people that night, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I think
for a long set, right?
Because that's the norm with Dane. I mean, I think that's
pretty
much
the norm.
Yeah, but
that sucks. I don't know Dane Cook, but that sucks that you show up to a club and then you bump people and you don't do 10, you don't do 20, you do 40 minutes. Fuck you. Fuck Dane Cook for doing that.
Oh, Jared Logan right here, everybody.
Does that not suck?
Yeah, it does. But didn't Dane just get like kicked out of a fucking club or something?
He just got banned at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, so like I'm saying like these things do kind of like come around.
You didn't know this?
No, Dane got banned for life at the Laugh Factory.
I don't know about life, but
no, say like keep it at life. Let's make this fucking.
You just keep adding. Dane Cook got punched and then banned.
Dane is pro life.
What happened?
I think he just kept
doing. Is everyone afraid to talk about it?
No, look. What I
reporting, we're gonna be like, I heard that my friend said
this is like
his girlfriend was there when Dane pulled his dick out.
He pulled his dick out.
I got one guy telling me to pull away and one guy telling me to get close.
I did watch that. I did watch that. That was like the porn star, like less mouth, more drool.
Okay.
Yeah. Do back up and pull the mic with you. That's you can bend it back. There you go.
Dane was concerned about the camera. Right. He's concerned about the sound.
So wait, let's get back to this story. Yeah. How did Dane Cook get banned?
Well, I've heard this like ninth hand.
I
heard it was because of what Jared was saying. That like he was just like bumping people
bumping,
going too long,
he's
and they were
bumping
like
bumping everybody and then bumping celebrities.
Come on, that's clearly unacceptable.
But you're not allowed to ban a guy in your establishment that you allow to do that behavior for 15 years.
He's bumping everybody. He would go to like industry shows where people like doing like 5-minute spots for like Fox or whatever, and then just bump everybody. I think Jamie just got tired of it.
Maybe like told him to, you know, to stop running, going so long or something like that, and then he did it anyway. I don't know what the details are.
So
I'm just making the point that what Jared was saying, I don't disagree with you. Like, that's not a cool move, what he's doing. But I don't know if the way to handle it as a comic is to try to like publicly shame him from doing that, or just kind of like I don't know. I get what you're saying.
If you're allowed to go on the podcast and say, hey, fuck TJ for coming down on Dane, why can't TJ go on Twitter and say fuck Dane for bumping a bunch of people?
That wasn't what he was complaining about on Twitter. He wasn't complaining about being bumped. He was complaining about his
The content.
And he was tweeting
chainsaw
his content.
Fucking.
Yeah.
Something about fucking.
You can totally complain if you get bumped. I've been bumped a ton. I've been bumped for people that I didn't think I got deserved to get bumped for. But I like the creative process is so delicate that I do have stuff that I'm working on that is not right, and it isn't working yet, and it just looks fucking racist or sexist or homophobic, or because I haven't figured the words out, and I need to figure them out live. So
eventually, it'll be racist, homophobic, and funny.
And funny, right. But taking my content out of context, putting it on Twitter in less characters than I'm saying it on stage, that's what Ari and I were shitting on. I've already gotten past all this with TJ, but that was what we were shitting on, and TJ was like, "That's not what I was doing. I was upset about getting being bumped, but it wasn't. That's not how it came out." But you know, I'll argue the other side of the fucking coin. I definitely think that I should be able to go into an open mic in Tampa and do more than 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, you.
So like, let's put it on a scale. Dane is the guy who kind of revolutionized comedy for the way we see the business now.
No question.
No question. So he does deserve the right on a Monday night to go in and bump guys you've never heard of.
Yeah. Now, but I would say that the counter argument is, yeah, it's a privilege that he has,
yes,
because he's earned it by being successful, but you can overuse the privilege.
So are you trying to say,
keep overusing it, and then everybody thinks you're a fucking asshole?
So you're saying with
which
great
you
power.
Are if you do that. You are so with are great power. Comes get off the fucking stage, you prima donna.
So you're saying that Dane is the King Joffrey of stand-up?
I don't know him, shit. But someone needs to put a
that's got meme written all over
a
it.
Hot crown on his head. No, they poisoned Joffrey.
They poisoned Joffrey. You're thinking of
poison Dane Cook. Jared Logan said it on this podcast.
The Targaryen brother.
Yeah. The Targaryen brother got the hot crown.
Who's Joffrey? Is he an LA guy?
I never mind getting bumped. I like it.
I think when something like I remember being like a couple years in comedy and Chappelle coming in, and it's like Stand Up New York, and just like, you know, like that's the end of the show. But it was like, just got back from Africa, Chappelle. It was so exciting, and like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, if you can't, like, I've heard like some comics, I get what Jared's making a good point. Like, it is a
I like
thing
that you Jared's
can,
arguing.
You want to be a dick
too.
With it. You yeah. want to be a dick with
okay,
it.
Okay, let's take it this way, okay? Maybe it's the person you're thinking of that you're getting bumped by, because none of us in this room would mind giving up our spots to watch Chappelle.
Yeah.
I would. you know what? I would. You're a super famous guy. You come in, all these young guys who are working really hard to achieve part of what you've achieved, and you're like, the rest of the evening is mine, gentlemen. And then you do your fucking 3 hours. Every time I heard that Dane and Chappelle were doing like 6 hour shows, I was like, give me a.
Those don't make sense.
That's hard to defend. Yeah.
I've never seen Chappelle do less than an hour. I've seen him do 2 or 3 hours usually here.
Really?
It was a long time, yeah. I've never seen him do like a 20-minute set. Like, Rock will do like a 20-minute set, or Seinfeld, or Louis.
Yeah, that's great. 30 minutes from Rock. Rock drops by something, he does 30 minutes. It's awesome. I love that. Yeah. And then people don't really get that bumped. Like, maybe some people kind of get bumped, but it's not like galling. It's not like, he's not acting like a Roman fucking emperor, you know?
Yeah.
Just going after everyone, Jared.
Hey man, you name them, I got a beef.
Well, also, some of these guys could call ahead, you know, and be like, "Hey,
any of these
I'm coming
guys
there in an hour."
Call the club. It's just I don't know. I think it's that impulse. I've never bumped a fucking person in my life, but I also don't have the right to. I mean, if I want to do a set, I call the club. I mean, I won't call in my avails in LA, but I'll call the club and go, "Hey, I'd like to come in tonight."
Yeah,
can you give me a muscle out?
I think so. I guess we're just no one's really arguing. Like, we'd all agree. Like, if you're like someone on that level, like Chappelle level or whatever, it's like, yeah, you kind of have a right to like pop in, do a set anywhere. But yeah, I agree that it's like to come if you're gonna make it your 3 hour show, you probably should just call in at some point in that day.
Yeah.
Forget the ethics of it. You see what happened to Dane Cook? Apparently, he kept doing it and kept doing it until people all got annoyed, and now he can't do it.
Carlos Mencia used to do it. That was his big thing. Was he'd go in and put. He'd go in front of it. I think he'd even do it worse. He'd go in front of comics he didn't like and just destroy for 10 minutes and then hop off. And people would be like, I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
And then you'd go up and be like, they'd be like, oh, great. Burt Kreischer.
the crowd used to be a famous guy, and then no one gets up, and you're like, who the fuck is this?
I got bumped by Adam Sandler one time, and he didn't do very well. And he only did like 10 minutes. And it was like uncomfortable. It was like watching your dad fuck. It was not cool. Oh. It was like I got up there and everyone was like, If he can't do it, you're not going to be able to do it.
Sometimes I'm thrilled to get bumped. It's late. I got a 12:45 spot. Yeah. Rock shows up. I go, oh, I'm going home. I'll see you later.
I've done that many a time.
I love it.
Someone was like, I was supposed to go, and then Dane came in to the improv, and he was like, I'm going to go up. And I had two kids, so I was like, all right, I'm out. I was like, I got to get up in the morning. I'm not going to sit around and wait. And Brett Ernst, oh, these were guys, probably none of you guys know. They're all LA guys. But Brett Ernst was like, what, are you afraid to follow him? I was like, no, I have no interest in staying until 1 in the morning to do 8, because I will do my fucking 8 minutes.
Everyone's tired at the
end. Everyone's tired. No fucking, I don't know. Are you guys on the road much?
A little bit. I don't know.
I'm on the road
twice,
a lot.
3 times a year.
Yeah, I was a lot last year.
I mean, really? I was with Luis J. Gomez, so that's a big thing for me.
I worked with Luis in fucking West Nyack.
Oh, yeah, that's his hometown.
It's within 75 miles of here, for sure.
Well, Lewis still isn't allowed on the West Coast, or maybe that's Canada. I don't know. Lewis can't travel everywhere.
He can't travel
free people
Canada,
can.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they beg him out.
Priors.
They, like, they extort him now. Last time we went to Canada, they made him, like throw down like $300 or something like that.
For what?
Yeah, he got,
because he's
away.
Like has some weed arrests on his record or something like that. It's like some weird. One time they fucking turned him away. We went to Toronto to do a gig with Big J and Dave Attell, and Lewis got turned away at the border, dude. He had to fucking get on the train and go home. It fucking really sucks.
Heard about
what do you
this.
Mean turned away at the border? Like oh, you guys drove?
Yeah, dude, we drove up in Rebecca Trent's. You know Rebecca? Uh-huh. She owns a creek in the cave. That club in Long Island City. We drove up in her van, like all of us, and yeah, they turned Lewis away. And for 20 seconds, we had to pretend like it was a big like debate. Like, what do we do here? Should we all go back? No, I mean, I guess probably just you, and I'll go do this theater show with the towel. Have fun. But,
you well, it looks like I'll be doing 20.
Yeah, right. Oh, dude. It's a really
Can
great
I have
show.
Lewis's money, please?
I got a very angry...
you have to throw that out there.
No,
what are you going to do with the money that
I think
for Lewis's set?
I think... I want to say this somewhere. If I'm wrong about this, somewhere Lewis is listening just furious, but I think Lewis did get paid for the fucking...
What?
I know if he's... I think... Because I think like we got the same money, and then we were like, well, let's give... I don't know. It just kind of felt weird. Wow. Like
I got fucked on money one time. My daughter fell, broke her jaw. I'm in Cincinnati doing this Jameson tour. It was a lot... It was big money. It was like... I mean, I'll tell you exactly how much it was for the weekend. All you had to do was 20 minutes... And you got, and we did, you know, 6 shows, and you got $5,000 a weekend, and it was
fucking
great. Everyone got $5,000. You flew first class. They put you up first class. They had town cars, and you got free Jameson, and you were paid.
Jesus,
it was fucking amazing. It was the best gig in the world. Best gig in the world. I'm not shitting on anyone that I'm about, but it's gonna sound like I am. My daughter falls, breaks her jaw on the Saturday. On Saturday, I do both Saturday shows, and I leave Sunday to go home to get to be able to take my daughter to the hospital. And I just kind of assumed I'd get paid for Sunday's show, but it was deducted, and I just thought it was so shitty. I remember being like, like it's like one of those things where you never fucking forget it. You're like, really? Like, it's not like I fucking missed the show. Like, my daughter fell and got hurt, and my wife's very logical. She's like, well, you did not do the show. I mean, but I was like, they didn't bring anyone else in. The guys just did a little longer. Oh, speaking of my wife. She wants to and FaceTime.
She'll corroborate the entire story.
Yeah.
Put the mic.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. It's connecting. Oh.
It's very high class.
Am I the only one that's married in here?
I'm about to be married in June.
Are you getting married in June?
Yeah. Oh, congrats, buddy.
Oh, congrats. Well, woman?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, babe. I'm doing a podcast. Can I call you later?
I'm sorry. Yeah, sure.
All right. I love you.
Oh, that's a good wife.
She's a redneck.
Boy, she's real sweet.
I like rednecks.
Yeah.
I
like red vaginas. Hey, boys. America.
Red ones. I kind of go for the pink ones.
Yeah, red. Then, what happened?
They might
Vampire
be infected.
Pussy.
Did you tenderize it first?
Well, the pink is a little inaccurate, too. It's kind of a... There's a pinkish
hue?
Tone.
Wait.
But,
no, it's pretty pink.
It's very brown, a lot of them.
Yeah, I agree
very
with you. Well,
it's not like a neon pink. Well, I mean,
it's a tan.
I only make love to black women. Did I mention that?
Those are pink, from
those
what
are,
I've seen.
Those are
the footage pink, I've seen, yeah.
I think it's just, you know when it's like some like another color makes another color pop? I don't think that black pussies are actually any pinker. I think it's just like the black color makes the pink pop.
Juxtaposition is what I think.
It's all about accessories down there. You know, you want that pink to just pop out at you.
It's like the old Hedberg joke. You get a tan instead of teeth whitening.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Don't you hate when you reference someone's joke and it bombs? Like, that's just not my bit. I'm not taking the bomb, Dana. It's Hedberg. Fuck
Hedberg,
him.
Take that bomb, Dana.
When I first saw the bomb, Dana, I was like, you can't bomb in a room of people. You can bomb in front of an audience.
And then you saw Bobby, and you realized you can.
Yeah, no, he made it real. He made the bomb, Dana,
this
a
is
real
the
thing.
Bomb,
yeah.
Dana, by the way.
Yeah, no, I saw.
Okay. But if you throw out a shitty joke, we throw it at you. You got to hold on to it.
I expected to see a vagina when I was a kid. It was going to be pink. It's pinkish. Like, if you were coloring, you could color it pink.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't just look at that and be like, that's pink. If my niece looked at a pussy, she wouldn't go, oh, there's a pink thing over there.
Wait, your niece?
That you picked your niece.
How'd you go to your niece on that one?
Oh, she's a kid, is what I meant. A kid.
I know, but why your niece?
Yeah. Well, I thought niece implied child. Child.
No, it does, it does.
I mean, speaking of vaginas, my niece.
Yeah, well. She has a vagina, I'm sure.
It'd only be worse if you're like, if I showed my Boy Scout troop a vagina in a tent, I said to one of my buddies, I tried to do this on stage and it did not fucking work. But I was real funny in the moment. I have a fucking air rifle. We all went camping. I brought my air rifle and the two boys, like my best friend's sons, were like fucking literally like. I mean, they couldn't get enough of this air rifle. They would have done anything. And I leaned over to my friends. I go, this is how kids get molested. I was like, this. I go, right now I've got them in the palm of my hand. And I said it to my friends, and they laughed. So I thought I tried to take it on stage, and it just fucking got creepy. I think I just changed the wording a little bit.
The world's not ready.
Yeah, right. for how to molest a child, jokes.
Yeah, any implication that you might fuck a kid is...
Any implication.
Doesn't hit, yeah.
Hold on, I'm tweeting that Bert is a child molester.
Type it in.
Yeah.
That makes it real.
But
once it's on Twitter,
were you any of you guys molested?
No,
but you
always the bridesmaid, you know.
Yeah.
No, never.
I had a guy touch me in a grocery store one time, but he just like put his hand on my shoulder and like gave me like a little bit of a massage for a second. It was like hello, and I was like no, and I ran away and I got away. So I almost got molested, I think, or kidnapped, or who knows.
Just enough to make you a comedian.
How long ago was that?
That was when I was a little kid. So then my mom, there's a whole story.
Where did you grow up?
Morgantown, West Virginia.
I was just, are you serious?
Yeah.
I was just in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Oh, yeah? Did you play there?
Yeah, they have a theater there that I did.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like a great town to get molested in. Am I right?
Yeah.
Morgantown, West Virginia.
Sure, a lot of it goes on there. There's not a lot to do, you know?
There's not a lot to do, and it's all fucking hills. That's so interesting. Yeah, just there. The school's there, right?
The school's there. That makes it livable, you know? The university's there, so there's a little bit going on.
West Virginia?
Yeah. West Virginia University. Yeah. I love it there.
I don't
want to live there, but I love it there.
It's an interesting. West Virginia's got a weird vibe. I had a buddy thrown through a plate glass window in West Virginia. But it's like, it's got this real. It's a bizarre state.
It's raw.
Really
I had
raw.
This guy who was a journalist, and he followed around. During the primaries one year when Obama was running, and he said every place they said, what's wrong with Obama? Why won't you vote for Obama? People were like, you know, we're not really sure where he's actually from. But when they went to West Virginia and they were like, why won't you vote for Obama? They were like, he's black.
Oh,
don't
wow.
you? That's, I find,
we're going to vote for a black guy? They were just openly racist.
I find overt racism refreshing in this day and age.
Yeah,
I really do. Enough just beating around the bush. Like, you know, there used to be so much of that. Like, if you look at when busing and stuff like that came in the 60s, they have like YouTube videos of people being interviewed about it. You can go watch it. People would just say they're racist. I don't want them in my school. I don't want them around my kids. Like, there's none of that anymore. Now it's it's, you know, like what you say. You got to go to West Virginia for it.
We're not quite sure what his background exactly
He might be Muslim. You know, like all that shit. It's like, just fucking admit you don't like black people.
There's a video of a senator saying about how segregation is the way to go in like the 60s, and everyone's fucking cheering.
Strom Thurmond, I think, is the guy. He ran for president on a platform of segregation.
This is what drives me nuts. Is there's this fucking underlying false outrage that happens throughout all of everything that anyone says anything. Like I'm still overwhelmed by the Nancy Grace or not Nancy Grace. That's why that probably didn't work. What's that girl's name?
Nancy Reagan? Nancy Pelosi?
Are
you someone who was shamed?
No, like...
Nancy Sinatra.
Sarah Palin.
No,
someone who was a shamer?
Fucking no. But there's like... We all know George Bush said the N-word. Like, he's said it growing up. That's the truth. But then he was president. But no, you know what I mean? Like, there's this underlying, like, I always get upset when I see country stars doing hip-hop albums together with hip-hop. I'm like, listen, don't... lose all the outrage, because we know they said the N-word, and we know they said it a lot, like, growing up. That's how the South works.
Right.
I grew up in the South. I heard the N-word a lot. Like, not just a little bit, a lot. Now, I also grew up in this 80s and 70s, but...
Where were you in the South?
Tampa, in Florida.
All right. Well, that's Florida, though.
Florida's fucking...
I was with hillbillies. They didn't really say the N-word then.
My wife's family, we were out camping. Someone brought up Martin Luther King, and my daughter's like, that's her biggest hero. She thinks he's like the greatest man ever. And one of my wife's relatives was like, he was nothing but a lying, cheating N-word. And I was like, you never heard that perspective. I completely forgot there were people that didn't like the guy.
Oh, dude, did you hear the there's these tapes. I don't know how they got these or where they, but there's tapes of what's her name? JFK's wife, Jackie Kennedy, just talking about Martin Luther King, and she hated Martin Luther King.
Yeah, she's like, she's talking
about, that's it. She's talking about how he's disgusting. He has these orgies. He's unfaithful. Which you can hear a lot of, like, you know, like a wife whose husband's cheating all over her, just furious at the friend. Like, you want, if you have a dude who strays, the last thing you want is him hanging out.
You know, he was talking to JFK. He's a bit influence on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Influence on you. Two of the most positive men in the 21st century. Stay away from him. Stay away from him.
Dude, it's so funny. Dude, you gotta find, it's on, like,
and it's
YouTube
just Jackie
shitting on him,
saying all this shit she wanted to say to JFK out loud, but about Martin Luther King.
I forget who she's talking to, but she's like, he's a horrible man, and all this.
That's what, I guess apparently he was not. But I forgot it. I said it to my wife, and she was like, "Well, Bert, someone fucking shot him. Like, clearly people didn't like him, but he's so revered in society today that it's unfathomable."
But you know, when people become like lionized like that, it's never reality. You know what I mean? Like, no person is actually a hero like that. You know, like the statue.
But if you're dead, that sticks. This brings us back to Dane Cook, right?
Is he dead?
No.
he needed to die.
No, but let's not do it with Dane. But watch, have you seen what's going on with Kevin Hart with the black comics these days?
No. What's happening?
Oh, dude.
Well, the Mike Epps thing.
Mike Epps. Yeah. Ari Spears. Like, all the black comics are shitting on Kevin Hart on, like, hip-hop on Sway's station.
Yeah, that's the... I saw he was on Sway. He did an interview about it, like, talking about it.
He
went
at detail of how, you know... It doesn't bother him, but it clearly bothers him. And there is this weird fucking underlying thing with stand-ups. I don't think Louis has had to experience it, but it seems like we take our precious, we put them on a pedestal only to break them down.
Well, what happens, like Louis is immune to it, Chappelle was immune to it, I think Burr
was not immune to it.
No?
Remember? He was getting heckled at fucking, like, they were heckling him, and then they fucking destroyed
him. Okay, fair enough, but Chappelle cut, right, okay. But I'm saying, like, he kind of stepped away from it. Chappelle didn't really fall. He was on top, and then he kind of took himself out. I think what happens with guys like Louis or Chappelle, like... When comics all kind of pretty much unanimously go, well, no, he's the best comic out there.
Burr.
But yeah, so then they don't get shit. But when anyone who maybe they wouldn't say, I'm just saying whether I'm not saying like Dane Cook's amazing, but I don't think he held like what Louis kind of holds with comics.
But Louis gets respect. Shit too. A lot of comics hate what Louis is doing. People shit.
Yeah,
I mean, Kindler shits all over him. Horribly.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm wrong.
There's
a lot
of comics
that
are just road headliners that he's eating up so much material by putting out an hour every year, and then you'll have a bit about fucking whatever. Lampshades for 5 years, and then Louis's like, and I fucking came on a lampshade and cut, and then you're like, well, now my bit is gone.
Came on a lampshade.
Whatever it is.
No, but
bit
look
is.
What you just did. You did an impression of what. Of you whittled down Louis' act, which is, I fucking came on a lampshade.
He does a lot of that stuff. I mean, Louis is my favorite.
Stupid fucking lampshade.
He's my favorite comic, but he gets plenty of shit from comics. I think there's a lot of comics that hate him and get annoyed by what he's doing, and the hour a year thing. People are like, give me a break with this.
An hour a year, that's awesome, man. I'm sorry if you have a five-year-old joke, you know? Like, I mean, I definitely have some, too, but, like, get over it.
I mean, I think it's the most impressive thing I've ever heard.
Wouldn't you say some of his hour a year, these jokes, you're like, these jokes could be a lot stronger if you did it a year and a half.
Look, I think Attell just made a special.
Oh,
Attell made a special last year, and that was the first one he's made in like 6 years. And I thought it was incredible. But you can't deny that. That's an amazing thing to be able to every year throw your material out and start headlining with no fucking material.
I agree. I mean, I feel like you're arguing with me. I'm not the one saying this.
I'll take the other side of the fence. Also, I think that an hour is too quick. I do believe an hour is too quick. I turn over material probably quicker than anyone I know. And sincerely, I can also, because my stories are like 12 minutes long, so I can go through and I can write on stage, but I still feel like the fucking, like when I heard Skanks for the Memories, that is, by the way, that is my Bible.
Dude, that's the best comedy album I've ever heard.
The best comedy album ever. When I heard Skanks for the Memories, I was doubled over and I was like, these are perfect. The fucking tags were perfect. I want it to sound like a boot stuck in mud, only wetter. Did everyone get it that's going to get it? Let's move on. The pacing was right. Everything was perfect about it. I feel like what they've done is they've put a pressure on comics that don't maybe have the ability to write a new hour every year, to write a new hour every year. And you're like, well, part of the art form is getting a fucking act and destroying and learning how to fucking venture off from that act while doing that act. And you got to sell tickets. You got to have people plot. I told Tosh one time, we're at the improv, and I go, man, I feel like I just want to fucking write. And he said very candidly to me, no one knows who the fuck you are. You need to be good first. Like, you need people to be coming to your shows and then go, oh, the reciprocation, what is it? Where the turnover rate is,
oh, yeah.
I need to write a new hour next year.
Which, like, when comics pride themselves, like, they'll be doing comedy for 4 or 5 years, and they pride themselves on having, like, they're like, dude, I got notebooks stacked up with jokes. And you're like, okay, that's completely useless. Like, yes. Who cares? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, do you have a tight 6 minutes? Like,
I don't know. I kind of disagree.
I love all your fucking points today. I love.
I just think, how does it hurt you to keep turning over jokes?
Okay,
can always go back and do the old ones if you need.
No, but I'm not saying it's,
you're getting
yes.
better the whole time.
If you're saying verse nothing, like if you're saying write other jokes versus sitting around jerking off, sure, it doesn't hurt. But I'm saying if you're spending your time and energy focused on that, like there should be more of a focus when you're a young comic on getting a tight 6 minutes, getting a tight 12 minutes, than just like writing, you know what I mean, like volumes and volumes of like manifesto. At least that's my
take. I don't think
it's
an either or proposition.
My only point is that just to be like, I do an hour every year and that's it. And it's like, well, do an hour when you have a killer hour that's done. Maybe it's 2 years, which is still unbelievable. Louis, some of those bits, you're like, that's a bit in here?
You guys are splitting
hairs.
This is
crazy.
The nuance of a two-year Louis bit or a three-year Louis bit versus a one-year Louis bit is negligible to me.
I disagree. Shoot Up and then watch the special at the Comedy Store and tell me those are fucking just interchangeable.
Also, He has so many eyes. How many theaters does he sell out every year? And if he's going to come back the next year and do the same fucking thing, he wants to go make that money and do that theater again.
That's performance. Live.
Yeah, these
I'm talking
are kind
about
of
releasing
arguments.
Them as a
yeah,
special
yeah.
and saying this is permanent. This is my special. That Comedy Store one. There's a lot of it. You're like, are you kidding me on this?
I don't think. I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that either. But I agree with what you're saying. Look, if Bill Burr and Louis C.K. and Tosh all want to do new hours every year, that is completely up to them. And they're so good that I will definitely watch those until I don't. And when I don't, then probably they'll go, well, maybe I'll take a little longer and make my hour. But here's what I'm saying. Like, you get young comics that are like, oh, I'm writing a new hour every year. And you're like, no, that's not the thing. That's not how this works.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. Yeah.
Your first hour should be 10 years of material, destructive, and you're missing out on the nuance of, like, tagging a joke and doing the joke so much that you get bored with it and you write even better tags to keep yourself interested. And then all of a sudden you got a fucking... And that is what Skanks for the Memories is. I mean, I remember sitting in the fucking club downstairs every night at 10, 12, 10, and Attell would come in, and he would have different tags for the same joke about killing someone with a hammer. He would have like nine.
Dude, there's no one better to watch work than that. Yeah, like, Attell's like the I feel like Skanks for the Memories is the only thing he ever put out that is like an actual representation of what it's like to like see Attell at the Comedy Cellar. You know what I mean? Like and a lot of his specials are great, but it's just not quite the, you know, Attell throwing on a blazer and doing like Captain Miserable, that wasn't quite like the experience of just seeing that guy like live. Like I don't know, he's to me the best guy to like watch.
I'm not a big fan of theater hour specials unless you do theaters. Like Louis doing a theater, I get it. He doesn't really do clubs
anymore.
For
someone like Dane, it was like perfect, you know, because he was like this huge show, so it just like worked.
And
you
Kevin
know?
Hart's like, I'm gonna be in the fucking Philadelphia Arena, the fucking Spectrum or whatever. Like that's
the
great.
The Field House, isn't it? The Field House.
It's like the biggest fucking.
But that's why Chappelle was having those problems where those guys are heckling him, because Chappelle's doing these like amphitheaters, and Chappelle's like this like really like smart, nuanced comic. It's not like a cheerleading energy, you know, like it's. Then people are yelling like Rick James bitch and shit out. That's not going to enhance a Chappelle show, you know?
Arena comedy is so confusing to me. Yeah, also Steve Martin in his book was like, once it got to arenas, it was useless to try to do any material. You're just hosting a party at that point. Yeah. Right?
That's where my career should go then. Because I'm barely feel like I'm doing fucking material any. I should just host a goddamn party. I just want to do a cruise ship. Just have a cruise ship and just do, like, have all my fans come on cruises and then we'll just drink and maybe I'll do some stand up. I'll be like, I'm the machine. I'll be like,
how long? Your fans. fantasy, like stand up is becoming a smaller and smaller part. Like, yeah, I think I just want to live on a cruise ship.
I was in, and like sometimes like comics can say things that you know that they really think, and but it whittled me down so tightly that of shit I already believe about myself, my fucking self ego or whatever, poor self esteem. Doug Benson was saying, you know, you could just do your act by just going up on stage, taking off your shirt, killing a beer, and just leaving. And I think you'd turn out more shows in a day, and they'd get the same experience. And so I did that on this 420 show. I just fucking walked up, take my shirt off, killed. By the way, got more of an applause than I've ever got for doing an hour. And I was so let down, and I was like, God damn it, I'm not fucking, like, now I want to be the opposite of like, oh, I leave my shirt on for the whole set, but fuck it, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
No. Anytime someone like kind of like nails you, like you're kind of like this kind of guy, it pisses you. Well, let me speak for myself. It pisses me off, and then I go and I write a bunch of stuff that's the opposite of that.
And then
I do it to almost no laughter.
The stuff the marketplace is not demanding.
Right.
Yeah. I remember walking through downstairs one time, and I was on a Hawaiian shirt, and Dave Attell goes, only two things wear Hawaiian shirts, big fat gay guys or party animals. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be either. I'm going to write some really smart jokes and go to the Lower East Side, and I just fucking suck dick. Every time I'd go up there, I don't even know if they still have stand-up over there, but it was like fucking, I'd try to be smart, but my smart jokes were like so bad. I wrote a joke like, never mind. Keep going.
You can't pick your voice, dude. Yeah. I've been having a huge problem with that where I'm trying to like show people how smart I am. Nobody gives a shit.
No one gives a shit.
No one cares if you're smart. Only other smart people can tell if you're smart, and even they are like, I don't like this guy. You know what I mean? It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Like, you're playing to like a tiny percentage of the crowd, and smart people always disagree with other smart people. So it's like not even like a thing. You're not even going to win
them
over.
Own the morons.
Anyway, if you are smart, you're smart. Trying to be smart is useless. It's nothing. Yeah. It's not a thing you can try to do. It's nothing.
It's what you said. I disagree with you. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was kidding.
He's doing the joke.
He said, smart people disagree with each other. And I said, I disagree with you.
Fuck, I deserve that bomb to Dana. No,
he'd taken that one.
You should just own the morons.
That's like, not a bomb, though. That was just a...
Like, what would you rather have? Okay, like, if you could... we'll go around the room. You can either be...
I'd be gay.
Wait,
we can pick anything.
Sorry.
No. I'm trying to think of what's the guy. Okay, you can either be ready as an artist, Tom Waits or Kid Rock.
Who would you rather be?
But translate that into comedy. Tom Waits, who's got a career but isn't selling out Madison Square Garden, or Kid Rock, who's bastardized like the fucking art of selling a personality so much. That like if he had Tom Waits' career, he'd have Tom Waits bumper
stickers. Who's Tom Waits? I'm sorry, I'm just terrible. Yeah. I know the name, but I don't know.
Tom Waits, is like,
what's he building in there?
I would be Tom Waits. Tom Waits is he's great.
Yeah, he's a.
That doesn't help me out.
He's an artsy Lower East Side musician who's kind of owned the scene of almost like spoken word music. I mean, he just is. Like,
so you're basically saying like kind of the idea of being like somewhat like true to the craft versus kind of a sellout.
Also written some huge hit songs for other people.
He would have a steady career where Kid Rock would blow up, and then he's kind of there.
Now Kid Rock, and not to bring this back, but Kid Rock is doing cruise ships. So he does like this Kid Rock cruise ship, and he makes like fucking $15 million because everyone Kid Rock's on the fucking cruise, and he brings his you know, they do bastardizations of what art should be. Like, him and Vince Neil do acoustic covers. You know, it's like, okay, we get it. But, and I'm not shitting on Kid Rock, but I'm just saying, like, he has taken what is the thing you like and then just fucking Budweiser'd it down to, like, it's just a shot of this. It's, there we go. You got all of it. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know. I feel like my instinct is to be like, no, I would choose as long as I'm like, if you're not talking about starving, like as long as I'm like making a living and doing okay, I would always choose the like integrity route. But I mean, then again, I don't know, you know, once that offer is in front of you, I don't know what that actually, you know, it's easy to like say like I wouldn't sell at, but then like,
ooh, that's a fucking TV show. We sell it to Comedy Central. It's called Selling Your Soul. What you do is you go into a comedy club and you find the best, the smartest, the guys that are undiscovered, but you know, like a Natterman who's got a real sharp voice. And is a great writer and a great guy. Then you go, all right, you're the guy. We picked you. It's $5 million. And we're like, welcome to the first episode. We want you to wear this clown suit. And just see, watch guys lose their spirit. And just like fucking, just see if they'll sell their soul. We want to wear a clown suit and do. We want to. We've rewritten your jokes.
My first question: where did Comedy Central get $5 million?
I was trying to think of a number that would make you sell your soul
immediately. I will dress in anything you want. Yeah. Anything that you want immediately.
Would you do that? Would you take a year of your? Let's say they sign you to
a
5-year deal.
I'll take a llama's dick in my ass for $5 million.
Well, I mean, again, because you're the question you're making, where you go like, oh, like some successful guy, but he's like, you know, kind of true to his craft versus a real. Like, I'm a completely unsuccessful guy. So if you offer me money, I gotta take it right now. Like, if that's no matter what. I mean, I couldn't. Yeah, dude, if you offer me $5 million, I'm fucking taking it. Short of literally, you know, you have to go really fucking crazy to get me to say no. I don't know where
you're
it is.
You blow a dude.
Blow a dude for $5 million? We're blowing a dude.
I would suck a dick so hard for $5 million.
Lots of people suck dick. Wait. They love to do it. I mean, I would try it. I would try it for $5 million.
I would enjoy. I would
shit, man. I'll do it for $10,000.
I would date the guy for a year for $5 million.
Someone fucking make a shirt. A lot of people suck dick and like it.
Yeah,
I should try it. Right.
Everybody should try it. Everything at least twice.
I think I would get married. 10 years of marriage to a man. Sex every night.
I'll just go gay, like for 5 minutes. Like, I bang dudes now. I guess that's my thing. Yeah. All right.
Man, I wasn't that successful with women anyway. What the fuck?
Yeah. $5 million buys a lot of mouthwash. Thank you.
Yeah. I think you need more than mouthwash when you swallow gum.
Well.
Do you guys have any memory wash with this mouthwash?
How do you know? You've never done it. You don't know how you feel afterward. Maybe it feels good. Maybe it's nice.
Maybe I don't even need that mouthwash.
It probably doesn't taste real good because I know that my future wife doesn't really like to do it.
No, I don't. There's not a lot of girls that enjoy the taste.
Wait, do you think we could do a show where you gave like, okay, let's bottom price. Like, just blow a dude one time on camera. But that's your likeness. That's
how many
you forever.
People? How many? Oh, it's you forever. Now you're getting in. Now it's an interesting question because you know you don't.
Now we're talking
you don't
philosophy.
Want that to be your whole thing forever. You know.
Oh, no, that's it. That's it. No,
and $5 million's not going to make you feel good necessarily if you don't get to do what you want to do with your life. Right?
$5 million and you blow a dude on camera on Comedy Central prime time like Sunday night 8 p.m. and they fucking air it. It's a 30-minute special of you just blowing a dude. And if you don't blow him for 30 minutes, it just loops and they get it. Great editors to make just real tight ups. But it's you blowing a dude. And then that's how everyone knows you. Like, I mean, you can drop out of the fucking thing and hope to Cato Kaelin it and jump back into the game.
When like the host introduces me, can I say, just tell him I've been on Comedy Central? Like, they don't have to be like specific. You just say, you may have seen him on Comedy Central.
You may have seen this guy on Comedy Central. And he's not the guy sucking dick. If that's what you're thinking.
I think it's so funny they come back to me like 2 years later and like to just follow up. And I'm like, turns out I was gay. So thanks for helping me realize that. To the tune of $5 million.
You know when you drink a lot of coffee and then you take a bite of a sandwich and you realize you are hungry? It was a lot like that. Like, you just got to get the dick in your mouth and you're like, oh yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm complete.
You're happy. Painting.
It feels right. It feels right.
I'd do it. I'd probably be pretty good at it.
I'm sure.
I mean, I know what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like my wife said, there's this masseuse in Beverly Hills called Dr. Squirts. And he fucking massages the ladies and then squirts them. And it's like the best orgasm they've ever had. And all my wife's friends were talking about Dr. Squirts. And is it cheating? And I was like, it's definitely fucking cheating. And she was like, well, what if there was a girl who could give like the most amazing hand job? I was like, that'll never happen. I have to be a dude. Like,
have you ever gone to one of those Asian rubdowns, dude?
No, I've never have.
Dude, they give the best hand jobs.
Like,
there's technique,
the best fucking hand jobs I've ever had in my goddamn life. I'm talking about this chick touches your dick, and from the minute she touched my dick, look, the first time I ever did
wait, walk me through it. Walk me through it.
Okay, so first time, I'll tell you, so literally it was my 21st birthday, maybe 20th birthday. It was like something like that, and my friends were just like, we're taking you to an Asian massage parlor. And I've never knew this was like a thing before that, or maybe I'd heard of it, but you know, like a rub down massage place. And I'm hammered, and in my mind, I'm like a kid. In my mind, I'm like I'm gonna go get a hand job right now. I'm hammered, and my hand job, you know, mine is like a girl who doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. Give you like, I'm not even gonna get a boner right now. Like, this is like ridiculous. The Asian chicks aren't even cute. You know what I mean? You're like, but they give you a dope ass massage. I'm telling you, this chick touched my dick. From the second she touched my dick, I was fighting to not come because I was like, whoa, I want to enjoy this for a second.
Wow.
I was I'm on my back looking up, and I was like, this is the great. And I looked down just for 1 second, and dude, it's like all types of lotion and this crazy like they just, I didn't mean to make my dick look that big. It's not, but they, I'm just to get, they use this kind of like, It was. I looked at it for. I came in maybe 2 minutes. I looked at it for like a second just to admire what she was doing.
Good-looking gal, best. Naked.
Nope.
Not at all. No,
it's completely
out.
Mechanical.
No titties out. It was. That's what I'm saying.
It's
it was
just
literally
an organ that they're milking.
That's what it was. It was almost like not even sexual. I wasn't like even thinking like sexual thoughts. It was just like, oh my god, this feels amazing. Like,
wow. Now, does she lead in? Like, does she give you a full body massage?
Full body massage. First, they take you to this room. They like pour water on you and like do this kind of thing. Then full body massage. She, like you're on your back on a massage table. Then she turns you over and she just like kind of like touches your penis. You go, ooh, you like that.
Oh
and
wow.
Like, mm. And then she just fucking starts jerking you off.
Wow.
Yeah, we can all achieve this for like $75 or something like that.
Let's go right after the show.
I'm so on the other side of the fence that I'm like, will point out to the when I get a massage, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna take my underwear off, but I can keep it on if you want me to. Like, I'm so afraid they're gonna start jerking me off and I won't be able to say, yeah, stop. Like, you know, like if someone touches my dick, I don't know if I have it in me to go, hey, please don't do that. You know what I mean?
That is you got to be like, if you're like passive at all, that's a tough one to have to. If you don't like buying condoms at Duane Reade, you're definitely not going to be able to tell. Or not. Oh, by the way, so I was like 20 in the store, 21. My friends all paid for me because it was like a birthday present, and I had no idea because I'm just not an adult that you're supposed to tip these people, because like obviously any grown man, you understand a woman just jerked you off.
This is
a service tip industry. Yeah. Like you have, but so I just
if
don't,
there's ever been one.
So I just like drunkenly stumbled out, like, oh my god, I just got the greatest hand job ever, and I stumbled out and my friends were already done, so they're like out there, and a mob of angry Asian hookers just came storming out. And they go, she walk hard, you know, tip. You know, tip. I was just like, oh, I'm so scared. Just like gave him money. Like,
that's
oh, I'm so sorry.
Funny. You could have been like, well, the service wasn't that great. Yes, I came, but not in the way that I wanted to come. Right. It wasn't
there's
the kind
still
of
more in there.
Was this in New York or?
Yeah, Brooklyn? It was in New York. It was on, I believe it was.
She wants an address.
Yeah, just shoot me an address.
I want to say East Side around the 30s, something like that.
It's probably gone, though.
Maybe.
It's probably. I mean,
there used to be one above Stand Up New York.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's gone. That's been gone for a long time.
Yeah. Has any of you guys ever been with a prostitute?
No. But not,
not on the record.
Yeah. Would you? Well, no, you can't now because you're getting married, but would you?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Marriage's the opportune time to do it, right?
Why would you get a prostitute when it's not that hard, looking like any type of fugly, idiotic guy, to just have sex? Especially if you live in like New York City. Look, I was a lot fatter than I am now. My interests were like fucking The Hobbit, and I would go out and get laid every once in a while. So if I could do it every 4 or 5 months, anybody can. Why would you need
a
prostitute?
You live in a different time. I mean, when I was single, you had to meet someone. Like, you couldn't just swipe right or swipe left. Like, things are so easy to get laid now. There's fucking no one did internet dating when I was single. That was like, you were a pariah. Only the fucking creeps did internet dating. But now I look and it's like, I would love to have Tinder and just swipe and be like, swipe, swipe. Oh, you swipe. You basically swiped and said, I'll fuck you. Like, that's ultimately what it is. Oh, that would be fucking amazing.
And I do. Yeah. I think there's just like, just because it's just been around longer. Like the like hookup culture or whatever you call that is just so much more like intense now. Like whatever the level of like girls kind of like demanding this and then you get pussy, the this and this just gets less and less and less like each year. Like girls are, at least I think, more down than ever to just like go on Tinder, meet a dude and go fuck him.
Hey, you just need a podcast.
Huh?
You just need a podcast.
You could come up with a podcast called Fucking. Meeting brand new people and having sex, and probably people will be like, I want to do it, because people want to be famous, and they'd be like,
yeah.
So when is this? Can I retweet this? I would love to. I mean, I don't want to get back in the game. I want to stay married, but I just think it would be so easier now to get laid. I had such a hard time.
Yeah, no, I never did any of that online dating stuff. You just go talk to girls after shows. If you're a comic,
honestly,
you meet the most people.
I've never done it. I've been I'm like a not relationship guy at all. Like I've been single for the majority of the time I've been in comedy. And I've never done the internet. So, I mean, comedy kind of does facilitate this. Like, you're out at a place where there's like drinks and girls like every
night.
You
do well on stage. It's pretty
easy. That's the other thing is that you kind of. Well, for better or worse, I think, at least for me, ever since I got in comedy, it's like, if you do well on stage, like, there's no better representation of me. I feel like there's no better way to, like, hit on a girl than after she saw me do well on stage. Yeah. Like, that's the best.
Yeah.
I'm never looking better at, like, some bar. See, you know what I mean? So why even go there?
Oh, you know what else helped was having the absolute lowest standard on who she was, what she looked like, and what she had to say.
Oh,
you
there's
know?
A caveat in this fucking equation of yours.
Oh, no. I need to clarify. I'm talking about that I got laid about every 4 or 5 months, but it had to be just a dragon from hell.
Oh, I had high standards. I had definitely high standards.
A dragon from hell.
Good for you.
You're right, though. Like, fucking coming off stage, there's no better sales pitch than this is me in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you guys want to do now? And I mean, but it I'll tell you what, I think it's the downfall of good comics is when you start getting pussy minded and you go to the road to go get laid. I mean, I worked with a guy who's like, I mean, he just does the exact same set every time, tight as fuck, 20 minutes to the time, and he only does it because he gets laid. And he's like 55. I worked with him. He doesn't look 55. Spends his days at the gym, not writing.
Rich Voss?
No. But I think it's one of the good things about being married is you really don't give a fuck about women at all.
Being pussy-minded is the downfall of men in general. It's so idiotic. It's like you're way more, you're going to get laid more when you have interests and you're doing something interesting than you are if you're like trying to get laid all the time.
It takes you away from writing and stuff too.
Yeah.
You're constantly like, oh, I want to get laid after a show. You don't go back home, listen to sets, write down material, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I'll hang out with buddies who, like, you don't hang out with them all the time. And then you go out to a bar with them, and the whole time they're chasing skirts, and you're like, okay, so relationship.
Just go to a bar in the 50s?
Yeah.
chasing skirts.
They're after some games over here.
You can tell how good I am at it by how I talk about it.
They're chasing skirts.
Hey, man, I'll throw around some good pickup lines.
I agree with you, though, that it is like... it does become this all like kind of consuming thing. I do... There's this weird dynamic that for guys, too. I think that it's like we start out... Guys start out with... no ability to get pussy and like a rock hard boner just all day long, like in fourth grade or whatever. Like you just have a and then it's like as you get older,
Jesus, Dave.
Like, no. I remember that. Do you remember when you just get boners nonstop, like for no reason at all? You just get a boner and you're like, what the fuck is this?
I have a boner right now, but I know why.
Do you guys haven't you felt like in your life like it? Like I look, dude. I remember like if you're dating a girl when you're like 17, 18, it's like you want to fuck all the time and you have to convince them to. As you get older and older, it's almost like girls want to fuck all the time. And I feel like guys, and there's science to like back this up, like girls' sex drive explodes in like their 30s and shit like that. Guys, you just kind of, like you were saying, like if you got back in the game now, I think what you don't realize, dude, is you would have a higher status than you've ever had before. Just because like you're older, your career's better than it's been. You know what I'm saying? Like all that shit. Girls don't, I'm so much better of a pull now than I was 18 to some chick, but that chick at 18 is like physically perfect. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you go meet like the hot chick in high school, it's probably fat and
it's
like
mutual depreciation. What it is you want to find a woman that you mutually depreciate with. Because what has happened is my stock has skyrocketed and my wife's just plummeting. Like when I met her, she was like fucking 29 years old, at her peak, franchise player years. I mean, just like fucking just come off a couple titles, and I grabbed her, I snagged her. But I had a small franchise, and I started building, and I started selling tickets in the fucking... Now, and I don't think my wife appreciates that. I don't think she appreciates that I could score chicks hotter than her on the road. I don't think she appreciates that at all.
Like, well, that used to be like, that's kind of like the deal, I feel like, that marriage used to be, right? Like, it's almost like, all right, you commit to like, you're with me for life, but I'll give you like, you know what I mean? You'll get this like hot pussy now.
Yeah.
But then girls almost like took away that part of the deal. It's like, oh, well, you can just get hot pussy now.
Yeah. What a sour deal. What a sour fucking deal is like, I'll give you this hot pussy. It's 29. And then you just got to suffer through it while you just make money for me and the family, and I get a nice, comfortable life.
What's happening to your wife? Does she have cancer?
No.
Why is she depreciating? Like, you know, there's a lot of very attractive 50-year-old women that I would love to have sex with.
I'll show you a picture of my wife. No, my wife's hot. My wife's hot, and I have a great relationship. I'm not shitting on her, but what I was always afraid of when I got married is that my wife would get fat, like real fat. You ever see those women that they're really hot, and then they just gain weight because of the baby. It's tough to lose weight.
You see that when, like a hot chick and her mother's just like like a mess, and you're kind of, and then you'll see like a young picture of the mother, and she looked like her, and you're like, holy shit.
You ever see like a couple? I see it a lot. I'm more of a grown up than you guys, meaning like I hang out with adults also and comics. So like
I hang out with adults.
Not the kind I hang out with. Like real adults, like grown up adults, like okay, like people who like
the head of the Royal Shakespeare Theater Company.
No, I've never felt so judged in my life.
No, but like I did drop off at school, so I hang out with people that just have kids and like that's their fucking life, and the guy's a lawyer, like, and the mom's a mom, and you just hang out with them, you know, and they don't they have nothing to do with the business, like being a comic. And then you have comic friends who, like, when you try to cross over, you see how different the adults are. Like my buddies for Easter, I don't know if you know who Joey Diaz is.
Yeah,
Joey Diaz for Easter comes over to my house one year, and my wife has invited kids, my friend's kids, and Joey brings edible marijuana. And fucking no one planned on taking Easter with edible marijuana, but next thing you know, my dad's got a handful, he ate it on accident, I'm eating it, and everyone's like, fuck, and my wife's like, you can't mix our two. You can't bring your comic friends around our adult friends. But I don't know how the fuck I got on this, but I was going to say, like when you ever, like with adult friends, you'll see like a good-looking dude, And like skinny with like a Patagonia jacket, and then like a obese woman, and you just think, like,
what happened?
I'm being judgy right now, but like you go, he can't be happy, she can't be happy. Yeah, yeah. Like none of them, they met both attractive, and that is like the fucking deal. I said it to my wife before we started dating. I was like, please don't get fat because I think I'll cheat on you. And she was like,
it's her fault if you cheat.
Well, look, everyone That's proposes crazy. In their own way.
By the way, I mean, you have the perfect six pack too, right now.
Shut up!
The fuck are you talking about? You're like, yeah, she better not get obese, or I'm gonna fuck around.
No, I'm a franchise player right now.
Obesity. People that have obesity are depressed. So if why is she depressed? Maybe because I don't know. You're being an asshole.
Okay.
Anyway, if she gets fat, you turn the TV on. Like I'm on TV. That's what you get right now.
But is there
right?
not is it is Fuck. It completely crazy to say, like, let's say like a guy is like a funny, charming guy, and he hooks up with a really hot chick, and the chick really likes that he's funny and charming, and he really likes that she's hot. Is it not kind of saying, like, if they get together and they're in a relationship, and then the guy just stops being funny and charming, it's kind of like, oh, well, that's what I was attracted to about you.
By the way,
and if you're hot,
that's every comic you marry. You don't see the funny, charming, that 12-minute presentation you got up front. You just get the depressed,
dude,
alcoholic.
I'm a terrible comic.
Fucking weaning himself off Vicodin and Valium.
What comic is funny and charming when you live with them? They're all who am I? What can?
No, I'm saying
do
you do that.
My fame.
No, the point that I'm trying to make is that if it's okay to judge that. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I'm saying that does happen. I'm saying if it's okay to judge that, why is it not okay to also judge the chick who lost the looks?
You guys always fucking think chicks are going around judging you. Chicks are the most understanding people on the planet.
What are you, Dr. Phil?
You think chicks don't judge? Women are the most
they
judgmental people.
They judge as
people.
Much as we judge. They judge equal amount. It's
no,
equal.
Dude.
It's equal. Everybody, you know, you're insecure. That's why you think chicks are like pointing out all your flaws.
Are you writing a book?
Women are so understanding.
They're so understanding
about our bullshit. And then we're just like, don't get fat, bitch. You better not get fat.
But
I wasn't having like a fear of women judging me. I'm just saying in a relationship, like if a woman's hot and then she loses her looks, is that not a legitimate grievance?
If that's your main priority,
every woman's gonna.
Why does that have to be the main priority?
Men are visual animals, and that is the truth. Men are visual animals, so we are attracted to what we see, and women get a connection differently than men. They don't look at their guy like fucking love that body. I don't know. I don't know if I'm accurate on that, but there is something to be said for the fact that everyone's going to get ugly. Like, everyone's going to get ugly.
Not me.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it forever.
I mean, my wife is definitely looks much better than the average, like, 43-year-old that she is, 45 or whatever she is. But, like...
you better get that number right if she's going to listen to this.
I know she's older than me, and I don't like it. I fucking wish she wasn't. Michael Ian Black and I were talking about it one time. His wife's older than him, and it sucks because they always go, God, I'm getting so old. And you're like, yeah, you are. I'm not. I'm still very young. Like, I'm 42. Like, leave that shit to you. But like, there is... Everyone's going to get ugly and get old, and everyone's going to get ugly. And I think what maybe men are doing, I'll just say me, but I'm not cheating on my wife, but it's just like trying to hold on to your youth. Because boys, women grow up quicker than men. Like, it's like at 11 or fucking...
Emotionally.
13, it's like they kill the little girl. They kill the little girl. You can't look at a woman these days. You can't see her as a little girl playing with dolls. You just see a woman. like a woman who carries herself. Like, but you look at boys, like I can see you as a little boy right now.
Yeah,
like I can see the little boy.
Yeah, it's a really interesting like thing. Yeah, you can. Like I don't know. There's something about guys that there's kind of just like they are who they are. You know what I mean? It's like our cards are just kind of on the table.
At the like, second, at 5 years old, you get a set of cards, and that's you for it forever. and your cards are always there, and they may get a little better, but they're pretty much that's it.
What about the crying? That's very a little girl thing to do. When your girl's, you know, something happens, she starts bawling.
I'm gonna say this, and don't jump on me, but this, I'm gonna say this out loud. I think it is so sexy when my wife cries. Like when she cries, it's like the purest representation of her soul.
That's why you're in love. That's vulnerability.
You love
her vulnerability. Whereas when you're dating people and they show vulnerability, you're like, I can't. I got to get out of here. I'll see you later. You shouldn't have shown weakness in front of me.
I think there's a gap between the two thoughts there. To think crying is sexy.
My girlfriend's
crying. I'm like, I love you, and I want to help you and make you feel better. I'm not like, cry.
I get turned on.
Yeah,
no, she needs him. That's sexy.
When what she does is her lip.
Is that the sex? That's the appeal of it. Is that you're like,
I don't know
she's
what it is.
Desperate or something.
I find it so desperate. Attractive.
Like, well, you said she needs you. I mean,
does it have to be desperation?
I find it so sexy.
What is she usually cry over? People.
What does she usually cry over?
Like she. I mean, I probably can't say why, but like not like
maybe if
a
she
fight.
Listens to a podcast, that you she might fall. Your weight threats, perhaps.
You said I was 45. I'm 43.
Like adults don't get this. Like adults, lawyers don't get to sit in a fucking room and talk to people like this. Like just totally free, offending people on the internet. I'm sure throughout there's, I'm sure there's a fat shaming website that's just fucking lighting us up right now. How dare you? But I don't know. My wife cried, when her cat died, and it was just it turned me on. Like it was just like the look. It's like a very pure, like I don't know if it's vulnerability, but it's like fucking raw. It's and like her lip does this thing, like where she has like a bigger top lip, and it kind of like. Folds a little bit, like just, and I just fucking turns me on.
You're kind of turning me on. That's our new website, womencrying.com.
Oh, I wouldn't mind. There's that website. There was a where you just look at people watch people have orgasms. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's like
seen
I forget what it's called, but you just go online and you just see the people's faces as they have orgasms. It's all girls. Oh, a couple dudes in there. But
I've seen the compilation. Did you know the compilation?
Yeah,
online.
I saw the compilation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty interesting to watch people have an orgasm.
Oh, I love it.
I'm silent. I think I make like a fucking sniper face. Like,
I was talking about this the other day. Like, I think when I fuck girls, I'll make some noise, but I think it's all for them. Like, when I fucking go, you know, when I come, I'll be like, or something like that. But like, when I jerk off,
I don't make
a noise at all. Like, I'm just totally. Fucking silently come.
It's training. It's training. It's Pavlovian.
Just for them. Yeah.
If you think about it, I've thought about this for fucking 15 years, but I'm really quick during sex. I've always been quick. But I think that's our training. Our training is in a bathroom, tight, quick, silent like a sniper. Yeah. Like, just, you can't make noises because you're going to get caught. You don't want to get caught. You want it to be quick and fast. Whereas women learn sexually with a partner most of the time, and they learn it's like totally different. Like my wife has sex and she is sharing something where sometimes I feel like I've got my ear to the floor, like, you know, like listening, because that's the way I was trained.
No. I mean, it's like, and then you're like, I wish she would make more. Can you moan and do something for me? Like, let me hear your enjoyment, and then I'm like, like silently three pumps. You know what I mean?
Silently.
Like,
if my wife makes too much noise, I start having an orgasm immediately. Like, yeah. She starts going, huh? I'm like, okay, well, stop it. You gotta be quiet like me.
Right? That's hot. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
Another double standard.
Love a noise.
There's another double standard.
Yeah.
She said to me one time, she's like, when you have sex, it's like you're at the dentist. Like, you just stare at me in my glasses. So she has these hot glasses I like when she wears.
She's the one getting the filling. Am I right, boys?
Gross, Joe. All
right. Hey, do you want to hold on to this for a little bit? What do you guys think about Jameis Winston?
Who?
What happened with him?
The quarterback.
The quarterback for Florida State.
Is there a new story?
No.
Well, no. The girl that he was accused of in 2012 is now filing a personal lawsuit against him.
Why doesn't her dad just go with some of his friends and cut all his right fingers off?
Well, because that's vigilante justice, and it's illegal.
That's what I do. But for how long? You just cut some fingers off.
I don't think he did it. I think she's trying to get shit out of him.
You really don't think he did it?
I really don't think he did it. Yeah, no. He could fuck any chick he wanted at Florida State.
Yeah, but that's never. You can't say shit like that, dude. I mean, look, I'm just saying. Like, yeah. I don't know the details of the case, but the defense of he can get whoever he wants isn't a good defense for rape. Lots of rapists are like high profile.
Wanted that girl, and she said no.
Yeah, Bill Cosby could get lots of pussy. I mean, there's lots of rapists who are like at high.
I don't know why. I just don't have.
No, maybe it's not true. Maybe it's not true.
You don't think he did it?
I just don't think he did it. Yeah, I don't know why.
Most rape victims. I mean, a lot of rape victims don't even report. So the ones that do report, they were raped.
That's not true either, dude. That's not true either.
It's
look,
true.
Dude, you can't just say the ones who report are raped. Like, okay, so that UVA, yeah. that UVA
Point
chick
0.001%.
No, that's not
lying.
True. You're completely wrong, dude. There's actual studies on the ranges from 2 to 8% to 47%. There's been a lot of studies done on this, but no one says point. Oh, women make up rape a lot, dude. That false rape accusations are a thing. I know several friends who have had false rape accusations against them. I also know several friends who have been raped. I mean, you know, that's, but that is a real thing, dude. This UVA chick, that Tawana Brawley, like things like that exist, dude. Like that's, you know, they ruin people's lives.
You can't,
the Duke lacrosse kids.
Patrice
went to jail as my dad was a kid. Someone like that.
Yeah, it was a very with a similar.
I think his was statutory.
His was statutory.
The fact that she was younger.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I don't remember the exact. I heard
no, he was underage too. He went to like juvie. It wasn't statutory. It was that she, you know, said it was.
Yeah, but he went to big boy jail for the summer.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, but he didn't do it though.
Like,
yeah,
no, he did have sex with her.
He did have sex with her.
Yeah, he did have sex with her.
Look, we're going off what he said, so we, you know, but I believe he's being honest because he was like the most honest person I ever met.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, dude, whatever it is, it's like, I don't think you can like, you can say, oh, because he could have any chick he wants, it's not rape. But I also don't think you can just say, oh, because she accused him, it's rape.
Well, it's, like, you gotta look at it this way.
Let the court decide.
Well, yeah.
That's what they're there to do.
The court
detectives.
Did decide.
Lawyers. Let them figure it out.
But they did decide, and they threw it out.
Yeah, the court did decide, but I don't know. I don't know. The last thing I ever want to be is like a guy that doesn't, because I'm a guy and I've been in weird fucking situations and I've never been accused of rape, but like I can only imagine.
But I've raped.
But I can only imagine weird situations like that, and I don't know what's going on. I hate to be the guy to jump off. Like when the Duke lacrosse thing went down, I was like, that didn't happen. I knew that in my head. I was like, for some reason, I was like, they didn't rape that girl. That was fake. In which it came out that it was fake, that she made it up. She just wanted money from them. And
that's why I think, because he's about to sign a contract where he's going to be worth so much money, and she's doing it this time. Why didn't she file the lawsuit right after it was dismissed?
Because there were guys are about to sign a contract where they're going to make a bunch of money and rape people all the time. I mean, you can't say just because it would be beneficial to her that it didn't happen, you know? A guy's powerful doesn't mean someone's going after him just to get some of his money.
I think
powerful guys are more likely to rape. They feel entitled.
Well, I think the drive for power, you could argue, maybe is something. You know what I mean? Like there might be a correlation in almost like the type of person who's, you know,
a lot of it's powerless men too that want to establish power over anybody.
Yeah,
I think what you're saying is accurate. I think that you have to take with. Like with the fucking weight of the world, when a woman comes out and says, I've been raped, you've got to take that with the weight of the world because it is so much fucking paperwork. Like there's so much shit that this woman's now going to go through in her life for a statement.
But what about innocent until proven guilty? I mean, that's
totally
kind of a thing too. Like
totally. But you got to accept in that same, I believe in that same thing where you go, all right, clearly there is, let's just throw a real round number out, like fucking 13% of the men have rape abilities in them. They could rape a woman and date rape and all the spectrums of rape. 13% of the men. Well, then you got that's a crazy side of man. That's a craziness in there. We got to remember then there's probably exact mirror number of women that are fucking crazy that would probably falsely accuse men of rape as well. So but I will just say I just can't imagine in this scenario. Accusing, I mean, I don't know, you'd have to be really out of your fucking mind to accuse the star quarterback of the national championship team.
Someone's out of their mind. Look, you got one way or the other way. Someone's making it up. And either way, that's a fucking horrendous
thing. This
happened way before he was
that, even if he's convicted.
But this happened before
she's
he was
carry
a quarterback,
shame
though.
For that.
Oh, really?
Like, it happened his freshman year. He was redshirting. He was on the team, but he wasn't the star quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Well,
okay.
I agree with like what Jared's saying. That there is a lot of shit. Dude, did you see the it's not a TED Talks, but it's like one of those type of you know, that's like the thing now.
Yeah.
Just those presentations, like with an earpiece on a big stage. But Monica Lewinsky gave.
Yeah.
Like, I tell you, that was a TED Talk. Fucking hit home with me, dude.
I didn't see
when
it.
You for a second put yourself in this fucking poor girl's shoes. She's 22. Okay, the most powerful man in the fucking universe. Something no woman could resist. Like, no, you know, and yep. By the way, the feminist outrage is so quiet against Bill Clinton, it's ridiculous. But she's like, dude, I was humiliated. She said she wanted to kill herself from just being so mortified that she is, imagine being a 22-year-old chick and you are the slut of the world. Like, that's what you're known at. Like, I mean, I don't know. It really hit home with me just for a second.
I didn't
like,
see
man,
it. I want to see it now.
That must have sucked.
I'm going to watch that too.
Yeah.
Didn't she say she hasn't had a job since?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe she talked about like the struggle. Now she seems to be like kind of like okay with that. But you do for a second, you're like, oh yeah, well we're all making jokes. Man, she was 22. That's got to be fucking tough. You're just like a completely under the radar person,
Oprah.
And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
you
it's
know,
right out of college. They
everyone,
the shit you did out of college.
Fuck, you did the thing that you're not supposed to do.
People talk about the jizz on your dress, like details. You know,
you make like the stupidest decisions when you're 22. Man, nothing I did when I was 22 was smart. It was all garbage decisions.
When I decided to do comedy,
example.
When I first moved to LA, I had a TV show and I lived in this house in the hills and I thought I had it fucking made. I felt like I had everything going for me. And I remember coming home one night, my roommate Matt was sitting on my bed with Monica Lewinsky. And I walked in.
Wow.
I'm a big drinker, but I didn't like walking through the house to go to the refrigerator. So I used to keep beers in a cooler in my bedroom because I didn't know the other two roommates that well. So like,
dude, you don't got to qualify it. I'm a drinker too. You want some beers in your bedroom?
Good.
So you were an alcoholic.
I was, and so I walked in and I was sitting there and I was like, holy shit. I mean, I really like, it was like seeing a great white shark. You're just like, what the fuck? And we ended up just sitting around having beers and sitting on my bed. And he was like, yeah, you know, she was such a human person that you just totally forget about it. It's like the shit with Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown or any of these guys. You totally forget. Like, people may go, well, fuck, his parents didn't do whatever. You totally forget. They were someone's little kid. Like, just like anyone else. They were just a little kid that had dreams. And Michael, like, and that's one thing that I get hooked on is that the humanity of people, you just disconnect.
I think it's something about being in comedy. I always felt like just within the first few years, there was something very interesting about that. Just whatever it is that you kind of see some famous people or whatever, you know, whatever. There's just like Chris Rock coming by the cellar or something like that. But you just kind of do get, you're like, all these people you watch on TV, you're like, oh, they're people. It's just a weird kind of like lesson. When you just know someone from TV, it is.
We do that with the audience, too. Our jokes are just like, the crowds don't like this. This hits, that hits.
Yeah.
They suck. They're good. They're hot. These are human beings.
You're
made up of a bunch of human beings.
Them.
Yeah, it's just one unit.
You do dehumanize them. You forget that their opinions are maybe valid because they're humans.
Right.
Yeah. You just think of them as this fucking coverall piece of thing that came to see you.
It's like a weird thing.
And it's all like your perspective. You know, like you get lost in like, it's like what suits you. Did they like the joke or not? I remember like being in a sales job before I started comedy and like people, you know, it's just like you get this attitude. It's like, oh, that fucking cunt came in. She talked to me for 25 minutes, didn't buy anything.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, but is she really a cunt? I mean, she's a customer of yours and she had some questions.
You didn't do a very good job selling it.
Yeah, how many times have you fucking done that to people?
What?
Go in a store, look at shit for like
50
minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, no, she's not a cunt at all. You're just only seeing this from your perspective. Yeah. You know, like
that's why Twitter and the shaming on Twitter is so fucked up because it's like nobody has to look someone else in the eye and say you're a bad person.
You see
it's
what,
harder to do it.
That's when you see what people really are, though. In a way, you see like what humanity really is when you don't have to
look at the chat threads on fucking YouTube.
Oof.
If that is the canary in the mine for race relations, we are fucked.
Yeah,
I mean, it is just like. I mean, I remember me and this guy, Tom Segura. I don't know if you guys know Tom.
You're throwing everybody out that's pretty famous, by the way.
No, but then, Tom's not fucking famous.
Tom's amazing.
It's a comedy.
Oh, yeah, I guess in comedy. But I always think, like, I always think there's two groups, New York and L.A., and there are guys that I know in L.A. that I don't know if you know, but, like, but Tom would be one of them and his wife.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know that you know him, but they do have a popular podcast. But, like,
Ari Shaffir bridged this divide 2 years ago.
Yeah, he really did.
We're now all
he?
One.
Yeah. Tom and I would read chat threads of this joke I had on YouTube. I had to take the chat thread out. I had to take the fucking joke off. And it wasn't even that bad of it. It was a very hacky joke. It was that I was driving to the venue that I was performing at and I typed in, keep me off highway. So it took me through Compton. And I said, take, I didn't realize it said take a left on Crenshaw Boulevard and punch it. Go, go, go. It was a hacky joke. But what was funny was that, so, and the joke was titled, this is back when you, I mean, this, I feel like I lived in a different generation of comedy. This is when, in order to get views on your YouTube page, you'd put something volatile so people would click it. So it was just titled, Black People. So Black people would click it and then watch it. But what they were really upset about was that Crenshaw doesn't run through Compton. So they'd be like, this cracker motherfucker. And then white people would just attack them and go, he's just trying to make a point. And then Asians would jump in and be like, fuck both of you guys. You're both garbage. It was fucking fascinating. And yeah. So we'd read it back and forth to each other and be like, this can't be how people feel.
It is.
Now, wait,
it
do you think it's really what people are really like? Or do you think that they heighten themselves when they get online?
No,
that's
I agree.
They heighten
it's,
their
no, yeah. I do. It's this like kind of... It's not so much saying what people are really like, but it does. It's kind of like a Lord of the Flies type thing. It's like if you remove all the, like you're removing the constraints that yeah. usually keep this part of people out.
This is what it is. This is what it is. Fucking like maybe 6 years ago, I was doing Ontario improv, and we had a party at a thing. My buddy James and Chris, we were at a park. It was a kids' party, and they brought a bottle of Jack Daniels, and they're like, "Hey, you wanna?" Hit this, and I was like, "Oh, I got to drive tonight. I don't drink and drive." So I go, "I got to drive tonight. So I don't think I'm gonna be able to drink today." And they were like, "Oh, fucking come on!" And they're like, "If you don't drink, then we're gonna look like shit. Like if it's just us drinking." And I was like, "Well, can I tell you? I got to drive tonight." So I walked over to the women that were my wife and Marta and all our friends were all sitting at the table, and they saw them drinking, and I got to be a part of something I'm never a part of, and that was it's like this superiority of this like looking down at them, like are they doing that? And I got to be on that group. I'm never in that group. And it was so fucking empowering to just fucking shame them and be like, I don't get it. And they were like, you're not drinking. And I was like, I know. I told them I didn't want to do it. It's a kid's party. And they're like, and they were doing it about James specifically. And I was like, and it was so interesting. It was such a fucking like intoxicating feeling.
Yeah, dude, this is like, I mean, I don't mean to say like, obviously this is like a small level, but this is like how things like the Holocaust fucking happen. Like, dude, people get in to fucking judging one group of people. Like, it's like a fucking drug, dude. Yeah. Like being righteous and superior, it's like, it's something you gotta fight in yourself.
You gotta booger
like,
right here. Oh, sorry, the buddy. Whole fucking show. the whole show.
The whole show? Why are you telling me now? We're
I didn't
on
camera. Know what it, I didn't know what it was like, until I saw you breathe and it shot out.
Oh, he's enjoying being righteous.
No, it's you're
booger
right, though.
Righteous.
Here's the problem with special interest groups. It's like PETA. And by the way, I'm all about animals, but it's just interesting that PETA doesn't give a fuck about Mexicans at all. Like, yeah. They don't care about Mexicans at all. Like, that is the most, I think, important issue in this country is allowing Mexicans who've been here citizenship. I do not understand what the fuck we're doing.
Well, you start to talk about, like, you have all these things where you're like, you'll care about, like, whatever, some issue of, like, you know, people are suffering. You're like, well, why wouldn't we care about the ones who are, like, suffering the most? Like, the people who literally have the least, who, you know what I mean? And it's just like, but no one cares about real issues. You know what I mean? They want these kind of like, it's like if you know, whatever, like Hillary Clinton takes money from Saudi Arabia.
Oh, let's just
no,
talk, let's just
no, Brit, no one cares.
Let's do Britt McHenry, the fucking ESPN reporter. Everyone's outraged. I mean, there's not one person that supports that girl. And all of us have had our car towed, and none of us had fucking walked in like, thank you for doing that.
Who, one of our friends, some comic,
I got my car
posted a thing like their Yelp reviews, that car towing place, and evidently they're like a fucking horrible company that like all these people are shitting on.
No,
I
mean, it's like, wait, what did she
getting
say?
Getting your car towed is the worst. Like, it you can't even, like, I've got my car, I've been there. When they're towing my car, I'm like, listen, guys, please, I don't have much money. Can you please? Nope, sorry. We're doing it.
It is cut it off and sear the limb at the fucking wound. That's how a towing company has to work. Like, once they get there, your car, once they've undone their things, your car's done, and you have to pay for it. And it sucks. And sometimes it's this, and I think from what I hear, this company was guilty of kind of towing people that were suspect. And like, and not really having like fucking legalities to it. But who's going to write a positive Yelp review for a towing company?
Well, that's true. That's a good point. No one's going to be like, we had a great fucking job.
Guys,
they were professional. They were polite. Yeah. And after I paid the $800, they gave my car right back.
My buddy went on a interview to work for a tow company. And he wore like a shirt and tie and like sat down. He was like young at the time and needed a job. And he sat down at the desk. And the guy goes, welcome, Mr. Lever. And he goes, let me ask you this. Can you fight? My buddy's
can
like,
fight?
My buddy goes, yeah. And he goes, great, you're hired. And that was the whole interview.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you fight?
Yeah. Just, like, people fucking fight truck drivers.
Can you all the getting time. Racial slurs lobbed at you? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Then you got the job. But that whole point is like everyone's fucking outraged, and it's like I look back at the list of people we've been outraged about. Nah, I'm guilty of getting on Facebook and double clicking it and going, "Oh, that is fucking selfie Auschwitz girl." Remember that girl?
Yeah,
we fucking hated her for a week, and then she's gone.
I get why like people hate her because she was very cunty while she was doing it. But I've been in that situation. Yeah, I've been like in my head like I fucking hate you people.
When you lose it and you're just trying to hurt someone's feelings, dude, we've all been there before. Where you're just fucking like
I'm furious,
and I'm just trying to fucking get. And that's what she was doing.
She was just hurt their feelings.
Just look, I'm gonna I'm like gonna go at you're fat. You're a loser. I'm in a better place in life than you. Look, it's not a pretty moment.
We've all lost our shit before.
Come on, I've definitely lost my shit.
Tell you that story, but. I saw the Westboro. Is that what it's called?
Westboro Baptist Church. Yeah,
yeah. They were. This is when the Michael Sam, right?
Yeah,
he's the gay
Missouri.
Gay,
yeah,
football player.
They were like protesting. I didn't know Westboro Church was just bullshit. They're just like a bunch of goofs. It's like a fuck. It's almost like theater.
They're just lawyers trying to get people to sue them.
Yeah, so. They're just idiots. I thought they were real people, and we were in Missouri, and they were driving by, and we saw them. So I was with Tommy Jonigan, and I was like, I'm going to get out the window. And I was like, fuck you, you fucking piece. I got so angry, I go, you fucking faggots. And I called them faggots, and I was like, well, that was there goes that point.
You guys are nothing but a low-life bunch of...
I was like, oh, I just completely flipped that.
Oh, dude, that's so funny.
I'm worse than you. They weren't even using that language.
Oh, fuck, man.
But I was trying to, you know, that's the most hateful thing I could come up with.
Everyone's done it. I was very lucky in that I got tape recorded young in my career by the New York Times. I didn't know I was getting tape recorded. Once that happens to you one time, you're done for the rest of your life, and you choose your words very wisely in moments like that. One time
what'd
I got.
What'd you say?
Just talk shit about Florida State. It was when I was in college. And I said, listen, off the record. And the guy was like, oh, of course. And I said, look, the school's being a bunch of fucking cunts. Like, I don't know if I said that, but a bunch of assholes. The teachers are being fucking backstabbing. Two of them aren't going to graduate me now, and they won't let me redo. And I told it all. I wrote about it in my book, but I got tape recorded. And my dad, I called my dad, and I was like, he can't do that. And he goes, buddy, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's like, you're in the public eye. You're welcome. It's interesting. We've welcomed this Big Brother. Everyone was always afraid of Big Brother. We've almost embraced it. Like, ooh, let's take our celebrities and let's fucking see how they react in bed. I mean, look at Punk'd. The fucking people. They tried to tow Tracy Morgan's car one time, and he was not cool.
Kanye West was about to kill somebody.
Yeah, and we all giggle. And then when it happens in real life, we're like, fuck that cunt. She's such a piece of shit. She's just what we knew. It's like when getting bit by a snake. You knew it was a fucking snake. She's a hot chick. This is how she's been her whole fucking life. She hasn't had to interact for much. And when she does, she loses her shit. I had the girl from, we were talking about Saved by the Bell. The girl, the Stacy, oh no, from Clueless. Stacy, the black chick from Clueless. Remember
Yeah.
She, one time I was in a spin class, sure. And she took my bike. I had to put my stuff on my bike, my thing, my shoes, my water, and then I went over to get something, and I came back, and it was on the floor next to it, and she was on the bike. And I said, whoa, that's my bike. And she goes, no, this is my bike. I said, my stuff was on that. She goes, oh, I moved it. And I went, no, that's not how that fucking works.
Yes, you moved it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. She was like, no, this is mine. And it was interesting to me, she didn't have communication skills at all. She didn't have any communication skills on how to interact with this situation. All she knew how to do was go to the defect of cunty bitch.
I've experienced this before. It's like they have two speeds. It's like the cunt or the know how to do is one of
free
those
drinks,
two.
Shots dude, or wait, fuck
yeah.
You.
Hot
who's,
girls.
Wait, who's they?
Hot we're girls.
All women
it's,
again.
No.
I'm so surprised you went there.
No, I'm not saying women. No, I'm very specifically not saying women. I'm saying
hot women.
Tens. I'm talking about really, really hot women exist in a different world than the rest of us
this.
Do. Dude.
You have to admit this. That it is the
I'm not saying all women at all.
When you are a fucking supermodel, life is a little bit more downstream swimming.
And of course, by the way, there are exceptions to this. I'm not.
I happen
I'm
to know that
like,
that girl you're talking about is a Republican, so that's where I would put it. It's, she's a fucking Republican. Hey, so
look, being a white male in this society is downstream swimming. It's not fucking upstream. You go like, and I'm not saying that there aren't like real hateful black chicks out there or ugly chicks, but I'm just saying like when you're the industry that defines attractive people, Hollywood and modeling, when they pick you and say you are top, one of the hottest in the country, you will now be in a movie or you will now be a reporter on the sidelines for fucking sports. I mean, fucking ESPN.
But look, when you look at a guy like a superstar athlete or something like that, where you go, this guy has literally like his entire life, he's been walking around with everyone like, you're the man, you're this. That is a type of thing that like a 10, you know what I'm saying? When you meet a girl that's almost like intimidating to stand next to, those like just, they have had this kind of thing their entire life.
Like
everyone's just wanted to be
like
around
LeBron,
them,
like they've told him he's the legend.
Yes,
at
you know,
years old,
they
yeah.
just have this different kind of like
life's different. They think
swagger.
They're
swagger.
Sure, yeah. But then we are admitting that it's like men and women, right? Because there could have been some prick dude.
In different ways.
Let me tell you something.
But in different ways, it's different to be LeBron than the hot chick. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's like better or worse.
Well, I mean, maybe LeBron would be a little different if his car got towed.
But if it had been LeBron, you'd have been like, it's cool, LeBron.
LeBron would have never gone and picked up his car himself. And if he had, I bet everyone would lose their shit.
LeBron
and
wouldn't
like,
have cared. He's like, all right, whatever. I have millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He can go do that. I don't care.
I mean, my car got towed in college, and John Dacre's car got towed. Let me start this all over. John Dacre passed out the night before April Fool's at a Taco Bell drive-thru, and a cop was behind him, knocked on the window, punched it, flew into a fucking Domino's.
Oops.
Yep. And so they impaled into his car, and when he had to get it out, it was like fucking a ton of money. And John Dacre wiped his ass with the bills, just fucking. Yeah. And to give him, he's like, "Fuck these guys, can't take my car." But he did get a DUI. But I don't think anyone's. I just think it's amazing that we've embraced this fucking society that is snitchy, tattletaley, because that's what Fahrenheit 4 was. What was Big Brother? Was that Fahrenheit 4?
No, that's 1984.
1984. Yeah. 1984 was all about fucking Big Brother watching us, and we'll never want that. People were outraged you put cameras on the fucking stoplights.
Yeah, but what a fucking genius, I mean, Orwell was to like be in the 40s to predict like how fucking, you know, I mean, look, 80, maybe it should have been called 2015, but what a fucking accurate, like obviously not exactly, but really kind of got where society was going, like where, the direction. But yeah, it's amazing how much of it's voluntary.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I wanted to videotape someone on my flight last night. They were being a jerk. They were being a jerk to the flight attendant, and they weren't fucking listening. And they were just—it was just like they didn't—they were above it. It was. By the way, it was a very attractive woman, and she just was above it. They're like, "We're closing the door. No one can get up." And the girl just stood up. She said, "Ma'am, I need you to sit down." She goes, "I'm using the restroom." She goes, "No, ma'am, I need you to sit down. In order for you to close the door, I need you to be sitting in your seat." She goes, I'm going to just use the restroom real quick. In a weird way, I wanted to videotape it because I thought maybe I'll get some hits. Maybe if I Periscope this, everyone will fucking I get more followers. That is what people feel. That's why I fell off a waterfall recently and really fucked up my back. And I was on this trailhead in North Carolina, and I thought I shattered my spine, and I thought I fucking broke ribs. Oof. And these girls were fucking videotaping me. It was so fucking. And my whole film crew there, and these two girls just pulled up, and they're like, "Who is he?" Because they see the film crew. And they're like, "Oh, he was a show." They didn't even know who I was. And I watched the girl just start tape recording it on her phone, just on the sly. And I wanted to go. It was like so weird. And I was like, "Why? What is that behavior?" She just wants to get hits on her channel so that people fucking to be fan. I don't know.
I was watching. I was doing a show at Gotham. I was hosting it, and Jerry Seinfeld came on. Okay, he gets on stage. Everybody stands up. Everybody gets their phone out and starts filming him. Everybody won't stop talking. He's here. Jerry Seinfeld is here. It's like then like. 4 minutes go past, and he's going, okay, and then like five, and you're like,
great
if you guys shut the fuck up and sit down, he'll do the thing that makes you excited that he's here.
Yeah,
but they don't connect it to that. Oh. It's all just capturing that they are somehow touching it.
Periscope's gonna fuck it up.
Yeah,
Periscope's gonna fuck up shows. Because people just start periscoping so they can get viewers. Hey, guys, I'm periscoping Burt Kreischer's hour special. Click. And then you're just sitting there on stage and you're doing a whole set. You have no fucking clue. And this guy's got fucking 7,000 followers.
Can they record?
Oh, it does record.
Yeah.
And so then that'll be someone set. You're live streaming your sets. That will happen. I guarantee it. And then when you do what Patton did and say, remember everyone was outraged at Patton because he fucking told some heckler off.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, fuck Patton, how dare he? And Patton, I think Patton had to fucking apologize. But people tape recording sets, you're not allowed to do that. This is my art.
Patton Oswalt, he explained himself, but he did not. I don't think he, and I think he didn't need to apologize. And I don't think he really apologized.
Okay.
I think he just explained what had happened, you know. He was like, come on.
Yeah. I used to sit in the back and want to tape record everyone's fucking set just so I could listen to it at home. When you're trying to figure out comedy,
yeah.
I definitely recorded one of Attell's sets. I sat back. I had my recorder for my set. I was like, I got extra time on here. He's doing 15. I just clicked it, and I walked. I can tell you exactly where I was. I walked down one block west of 6th Street. It's called, I forget. It's, God. I forget the name. I used to live on that street. And I remember walking down listening to his set, like, secret. I was like, if anyone knew I did this, they'd fucking hate me. But I just was listening to it going, how does he figure this? What is this premise? Like, this is, you couldn't get on YouTube and look at comics and figure out how someone created a joke. You had to fucking sit in the clubs.
Do you think that it helped, like, you figured anything out from, like, listening like that?
I went, my first real joke that I wrote that was good was complete. Dave Attell's setup punch, complete.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
And by the way, I can't even claim any of this joke. The real joke, I was on a flight to Scotland to go meet up with Patrice and Voss, and I got cut off on the plane. And when the waitress cut me off, I was just fucking drunk, and she was about to cut me off, and I put my finger on her lips. I went, shh. And I told Patrice that, and Patrice is like, it needs to be a cop. And I was like, what? And he goes, the stakes are higher with a cop. No one's going to give a fuck that it's a stewardess. Make it a cop. And so I was like, how do I write that joke? And I just literally thought, how would Dave Attell write it? Literally said to myself, you know what cops hate? When you touch their faces. That's exactly, I mean, and that was my first joke that ever fucking worked.
I did a lot of that when I was young in comedy, just kind of writing in other people's voices. You know, you have an idea and you go, well, what would this guy do?
A million people
did
Hedberg. A million people did Hedberg.
Yeah.
No one's done Bobby Kelly. Isn't that interesting?
No, I've been writing exclusively in Bobby's voice recently.
So. I write in his body.
There's a lot of weird, like, crutches that young comics use, and then eventually you just kind of realize it's completely unnecessary.
I was definitely guilty of the fucking Dane Cook hands.
Sure,
fucking,
yeah.
You know what cops hate? When you touch, like, the fucking hands thing. I saw a comic do it the other day. He was a little older, and I felt like going, oh, you never grew out of that. How
yeah.
sad.
It's weird, like, eventually you just kind of realize it's like, well, why don't you just do it the way you would do it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just tell it like you would tell it. You're a person.
You need to get there first.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, and it's one of those things where you just got to, like, finding your voice is, like, the hardest thing to say. Sometimes I, like, oh, I found my voice, and then I'm like, I don't even know if that's my fucking voice.
Yeah, I think what I'm saying about that, that's not even, like, finding, I think that's the first starting point to finding your voice, is to, like, kind of, you know, like, drop doing someone else, you know?
How can we fuck with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Because he's going to come back. We need to get him into a heated point that only he... And we'll just be like, oh, we totally...
Women are evil.
No, then we got to just come up with, like, a thing that we all agree on.
I was already there with the women are evil thing. I was
okay, let's all say that we've been able to suck our dick and see if we can get him to say he did his.
Like, I don't think that's going to work. Okay. I don't think Jared's bullshit.
He's too smart overweight. For that. Yeah. He's too fat.
Maybe we're all pro-life.
No. We're all really pro-life.
Hey, we all put fingers up our ass when we jack off.
All right. You guys don't do that?
No. Okay, what would be the perfect one?
I was kind of into that one.
Should we do that one?
The thumb in the ass while jerking out? Just the tip?
Yeah. Okay, and you bring it up casually.
I don't know why I say it like he's I'm convincing my ass.
You bring it up casually, and I'll just chime in, and we'll all chime in together.
Joe's no confidence.
He's not going to go for this.
Then what's it going to be?
I don't know. It's going to be something more ethical.
Let's just say...
What's unethical about putting a finger up your ass?
No,
my body, my choice.
I'd have to be like
Bobby Kelly is calling you right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, shit. Just be
put on speaker.
Thank you. Fucking Bobby.
Hello?
Are you watching?
Yeah, I'm watching, and you guys are whispering into microphones.
Hey, Bobby, we'll call you right back. Hey, what were you talking about right before this that I thought was interesting?
What were we on?
Our thumbs in our butts.
Oh, right. Yeah, we've all done that, Bobby. Isn't that crazy? Have you ever done that, Bobby?
I heard you set this up, dum-dum.
Hey, fuckface, he just got back in the room and the setup was happening right now. And if you heard us set us up, why wouldn't you join in and be a part of the fucking gag?
Oh, shit, sorry. Because sometimes when you use the word dum-dum, it's accurate. I don't like how much better you are at hosting my show than I am.
No, it's because I'm not better at hosting your show, but I am really having a... I never get to hang out with comics I don't know, and so it's fun as fuck to be like, to feel like it's like an open land, it's like a whole field of interesting subjects I can talk about.
Yeah, but none of those guys would come on when I asked them, but when you were hosting, they all came on.
Well, I'm paying them all.
I've done the show with you, Bobby.
You're doing a great job. I've been watching till last night. It's riveting. Hey, Joe, want to speak up a little bit?
I've had some great lines, buddy.
Okay, I know you're going to say that. I love you, buddy. You're the best.
I love you too, Bobby. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
I think that was for me.
I'll see you later.
All right, I got to get going. I have fucking upfronts.
Me too. But anyways, we all jerk off with our thumbs in our ass. How about you, Jared?
I've had a woman put her thumb in my ass, and it felt like...
I'm taking that 50% victory for us right there. We got a thumb in the ass out of it.
50% victory. Wait, you had a woman. Why would she put her thumb like she was hitchhiking?
Maybe it was her index, to be honest. Yeah, sorry. I can't hang with you guys.
You ever hear one of my favorite jokes of all time? Gary Shandling? Because every time I have sex with my wife, she always yells the same thing. Not in the ass. And I'm always like, honey, it's my thumb and my ass.
Gary Shandling is fucking talented. I'd like to see more of him. He's got to be like 70-something now.
He's dead, isn't he?
No, he can't be 70. I bet he's 60s, though. Early 60s.
Oh, so are you guys going to keep going when I leave?
No, I got to go, too.
Do you guys want to all plug stuff real quick? Grab your phones. Talk about your dates.
Guys, I'll be on another podcast in an hour. I'm not even lying. That's literally all I have. Do I have podcasts so goddamn much? Legion of Skanks last night, this today. I have another podcast.
By the way,
it'll ruin you.
It'll ruin you for road radio. Like when you go do Bob and Tom, it's not like a podcast.
And they just want to shtick radio
it's,
thing.
Well, they want, you know, it's one of the things. It's a different muscle. I remember first doing Rogan's podcast thinking I was going to have to do bits. And I just got on and we just kind of rambled. And I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. And then you go and do like real press, like, and they still want bits.
Dude, road radio is wrong. They're always like, go ahead, do your bits, and I'm like, we can just talk. It'll be super funny.
There's nothing worse for a comic than doing your bit in some other capacity than stand up. Like, it's made for that, not for like.
It's really beautiful though. Like, and I don't know, this might be dead. I don't know, but like, there was a period where you do radio and you do bits, but they didn't know you were doing bits, and they just thought you were the funniest person in the world until you had to come back, and you were like, did I mention my black friend? His name's imaginary, and they're like, what? And like, never mind. Let's promote anything to promote. I have a podcast called Burtcast. Check it out. I got Jim Norton on last week. I have Kurt Braunholler on this week. All you guys, if you come out to LA, you're more than welcome to be on my podcast.
Awesome.
Please let me know when you come out to LA. Just hit me up and go, hey, I'm here. I loved podcast because this was a fucking blast. Cool. I had a fucking blast doing this.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I've been a big fan of yours. It's nice to fucking meet you.
It's cool that what's cool is that everyone, like, there's no. It was like everyone had their opinions and no one... It was like no fucking glad-handing. It was just fucking fun.
Because there's no fucking women here. Hey, boys?
Yeah. Fucking cunts. Yeah, bitches.
What do you guys... any dates coming up?
I got an album called My Brave Battle. It's on iTunes. Please get it.
I'll be in Side Splitters in Tampa this weekend.
And was this coming out not this week?
Well, it's on TV, I thought. We're doing all this TV horse shit.
Oh, yeah, for the... Yeah.
Bobby's watching.
That's right. Is Bobby going to come out?
I think so. And then May 7th to the 10th. Is that better? I'll be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. Come on out.
Club. That's
a
great club.
It's one of my favorites. I love it. So come.
Do you tour with John again at all?
I did for a while, yeah.
He's the best. I worked with him in Penguins in the Quad Cities. I'd never seen him before.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like when I was probably young at headlining. Maybe I was like 28, 29, maybe 30. And I just thought I was a monster. And I was a monster hack, I think. But I was murdering. And I was fucking walked into the club and I met this little kid with glasses who looked like he's fucking rapeable, like just molestable. And I was like, watched him go on and he fucking like flamethrowed that room, and I was sat in the back and I was like, oh shit, I need to start writing. Like, I was like, fuck. And then I hung out with him all week. He didn't drink at the time.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything except fucked a porn star once. And he told me that story twice. And then and then I had just hang out with him. And he was, God, he's a fucking talented comic.
He just shot a pilot. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God. What was the pilot's name, Nancy?
It's called Tommy.
No.
He's muscular now. He's not a little boy looking kind of
He's muscular?
Anyway. Yeah. He's got muscles now,
man.
He looks
great, and he's about to have a TV show.
May 7th through 9th or 10th, I'm up Stand Up Live. Next week, I'm in House of Comedy in Minnesota, then Levity Live in West Nyack, DC Improv, Chicago Helium, fucking Virginia Beach, Pittsburgh, Addison, Houston, the night before Addison. God bless. Go to burtburtburt.com.
I got Bobby's dates real quick.
No, let's go. Let's wrap it up. All right. Here, let me read Bobby's dates.
Yeah.
Oh, these. Wow, look at this. Bobby's at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, April 24th. He's in Laugh Boston, May 15th-ish. He's at Salt Lake City at the 50 West Club, June 18th. The Treehouse, Sports Haven, New Haven, June 27th. August 7th, he's in Governors in Bohemia, New York. And August 8th, he's in Governors in Brokerage, Belmore, New York. And go to BobbyKelly.com or R. Kelly. What's R.
He didn't, Robert Kelly Live.
Robert Kelly Live, and buy his merchandise. I'm sure he has triple XLs. Nothing?
Oh, no.
I guess I'll just own this. It's good seeing you guys.
It's very truthful.
Hey, thank you guys for doing this. Thank you for letting me hang with you guys. I had Absolutely. A fucking blast. Like I said, if you're ever in LA, everyone hit me up. Come pop me on my podcast. All right.
Yeah.
In essence, anyone want to? Parting words?
Oh, I guess I'll just plug up Legion of Skanks. Check that out if you don't. We got
Oh, I'm going to try to get on.
Yeah, we'd love to. We were talking about that the other day. Lewis was telling me he was trying to get you on or whatever, so that'd be great.
I watched the full episode with Sam Roberts when you guys had him.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking, that was...
oh, yeah, you were like in the chat room.
I was
at
in
one
the
point,
chat room.
At one point, we're like, is fucking Bert Kreischer in our chat room right now?
I was
now?
In the chat room because I was like, oh, shit, I can chat? So I started live chatting, and then people started fucking hazing me. And I was like, fuck this, I don't need this. Hopped out. Yeah, and then, I'm going to try to do it May 6th or 7th.
That would be awesome. We got Doug Benson coming on this week, so we're excited for that. We'd be really excited to get you on.
Up.
Yeah, so we're fucking yeah. Check that show out if you guys if you haven't already. It's a lot
of fun. All right, everyone, be good to your. Did everyone plug everything?
Yeah, we got everything.
Joe,
I think so.
We're good, okay. I'm good.
All right, yeah. Thank you guys for doing this. God bless America. If you are outraged, remember all emails go to robertkellylive@gmail.com. I love you. Add us all on Periscope. Do I have to hit stop record?
Stop button.
Oh, so it's I decide when this is over?
Yeah, no, the stop button.
Stop button. And that's a wrap, bitches.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.